It can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is a second-generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Got a lot to get to today. In a little while, we'll get to the latest poll numbers with regard to Elizabeth Warren and Joe Biden. But we begin today with the big story of the day, and that is this big whistleblower story surrounding President Trump. Right now, we don't even know what the whistleblower was blowing a whistle about, but we have some vague indicators. So today, we are going to involve ourselves in some rank speculation. We're going to evaluate what are the possibilities here and what impact that would have on President Trump, on the 2020 election, on the possibility of impeachment. So we'll lay out a bunch of possibilities. One of them may be true. None of them may be true. But because this is what is in the news, I'm just prefacing this with speculation aplenty is about to happen here. So we'll give you all the information that's been reported, and then we'll talk about the possibilities. So all of this began, this whole whistleblower story began, with a whistleblower inside the intelligence community apparently filing a whistleblower complaint with his higher-ups inside the intelligence community. The inspector general of the intelligence community then deemed that this was urgent, which would mean that this whistleblower complaint could be reported to Congress. However, at that point, the head of the director of the National Intelligence, the DNI, he stepped in. He said, well, no, actually, I've talked to the DOJ. We're not going to turn over this complaint because the complaint does not meet the requirements of being turned over to Congress. This led the Democrats to accuse the Trump administration of a cover-up because they're saying we want to see what the whistleblower complaint actually says. It has also led to an extraordinary amount of speculation about what exactly was in the whistleblower complaint. Now, from the very fact that we now know that the whistleblower complaint existed, it was only a matter of time until we started getting a slow leak as to what was actually in the whistleblower complaint. So what we have here is something very similar to what was happening during the Trump-Russia investigation. Democrats going out front suggesting that President Trump was engaged in deeply nefarious activity and that his own administration is covering it up. So very much the same way they claimed that Trump was engaged in Trump-Russia collusion and then that there was obstruction to cover that up. Adam Schiff, who it turned out was full of crap on the Trump-Russia stuff, he's now playing the same game with this whistleblower complaint. Adam Schiff, the congressperson from out here in California, he suggested yesterday that Republicans were trying to cover up whatever it is that President Trump had done that was mentioned in the whistleblower complaint. He apparently doesn't know what's in the whistleblower complaint, but he's accusing them of a cover-up anyway.
There is no privilege that covers whether the White House is involved in trying to stifle a whistleblower complaint. And I should say that even if you could make a colorable claim of privilege over the subject matter of the complaint, given that it involves something that the IG has already found to be serious and credible and evidence of wrongdoing of one kind or another, there is no privilege that covers that. There is no privilege to conceal that. There is no privilege to be corrupt.
Okay, well, obviously, executive privilege can be asserted on executive claims. There can be disputes inside the executive branch as to what sort of privilege can be asserted. Okay, so again, all of this started with this whistleblower complaint. Yesterday, Ellen Nakashima, Shane Harris, Greg Miller, and Carol Leenig, right, so four different people at the Washington Post on one report, which means they think it's big. They say whistleblower complaint about President Trump involves Ukraine, according to two people familiar with the matter. So first of all, we have to point out two people familiar with the matter is extraordinarily vague sourcing. We always have to take everything that is anonymously sourced like this with a grain of salt. Now, a lot of the time, it ends up being true. Now, contrary to popular opinion on some parts of the right, just because an anonymous source is involved doesn't mean that the reporting isn't true. But it does mean that we have to wait and see whether that ends up being confirmed over time. So the Washington Post says, a whistleblower complaint about President Trump made by an intelligence official, centers on Ukraine, according to two people familiar with the matter, which has set off a struggle between Congress and the executive branch. The complaint involved communications with foreign leader and a promise that Trump made, which was apparently so alarming that a U.S. intelligence official who had worked at the White House went to the Inspector General of the Intelligence Community, two former U.S. officials said. 2.5 weeks before the complaint was filed, President Trump spoke with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, who is a comedian and political newcomer who was elected in a landslide in May. That call is already under investigation by House Democrats, who are examining whether President Trump and his attorney, Rudy Giuliani, sought to manipulate the Ukrainian government into helping Trump's re-election campaign. Lawmakers have demanded a full transcript and a list of participants on the call. A White House spokesman declined to comment. The Democrats' investigation was launched earlier this month before revelations that an intelligence official had lodged a complaint with the Inspector General. The Washington Post first reported on Wednesday that the complaint had to do with a quote-unquote promise that Trump made when communicating with a foreign leader. So all this news story is adding that the foreign leader was Ukrainian. On Thursday, the Inspector General testified behind closed doors to members of the House Intelligence Committee about the whistleblower's complaint. Over the course of 3 hours, Michael Atkinson, who is the Inspector General, repeatedly declined to discuss with members the content of the complaint, saying he was not authorized to do so. So that's why I say Adam Schiff still does not know what exactly is in the complaint, but he's speculating that a cover-up is taking place without knowing the underlying material, which is exactly what Democrats did about the Mueller report. Oh, it's a cover-up. They're trying to shut down the Mueller report. No evidence of that. We don't know what the underlying material is here yet. So depending on that, maybe it's a cover-up, maybe it's not, but that's obviously beyond the scope of the information that Adam Schiff has. But Adam Schiff has never been a person who is going to hold back from jumping both feet on whatever political landmine is in front of him. Okay, we'll get to more exploration of what exactly is in that intelligence complaint in just 1 second. But first, let's talk about the earphones that you are using to listen to this show. So maybe you got those old-fashioned earphones, you know, the ones with the wires. Or maybe you got the earphones that are broken. You just need to replace them. Maybe you just want a second pair of earphones, but you don't feel like spending a fortune. You need to get Raycons. Their latest model is the best one yet. They've got 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, and more gives you a nice noise-isolating fit. Raycons wireless earbuds are so comfortable, they are perfect for on-the-go listening and for taking phone calls. Unlike some of your other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are both stylish and discreet. No dangling wires, no stems. Now is the time to see what all the hype is about. Go check out Raycon right now at buyraycon.com/Ben. Get 15% off your order. That's buyraycon.com/Ben for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. I love the fact they come in a variety of colors, so you can actually style them to meet your needs. Also, they have a bunch of fits, so you can make sure that it perfectly fits your ear. Go check them out at buyraycon.com/Ben. Why spend more money for a pair that ain't going to do more for you than Raycons will? Go check them out at buyraycon.com/Ben for 15% off your order today. Okay, so Michael Atkinson, who is, again, the Inspector General of the Intelligence Community, wouldn't tell the Democrats what exactly is going on here. He and the members spent much of their time discussing the process Atkinson followed, the statute governing his investigation of the complaint, and the nature of what an urgent concern constitutes that he believed this complaint represented, according to a person familiar with the briefing, who, again, is reporting anonymously. The person said he was being excruciatingly careful about the language he used, which is what he's supposed to do since he is a lawyer. Atkinson made clear he disagreed with the lawyer for the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, who had contradicted the Inspector General and found that the whistleblower complaint did not meet the statutory definition of an urgent concern because it involved a matter not under the DNI's jurisdiction. Okay, in other words, it seems like what the battle is here is that somebody in the intelligence community saw Trump personally do something bad or saw a readout, said, okay, Trump is doing something bad. And the DNI said, well, that's not in our purview. The President of the United States has wide latitude to do bad things on foreign policy that you may not like. And it's not within the purview of the intelligence community. Intelligence community purview would be stuff where Trump is dumping classified information publicly, for example, or privately, or he's making some sort of deal with somebody else's intelligence community. Okay, but maybe that's not what's going on here. Again, we still don't know what the underlying complaint is. Schiff says we can't get an answer to a question about whether the White House is involved in preventing this information from coming to Congress. We're determined to do everything we can to determine what this urgent concern is. So now we are arguing over the nature of a complaint where we don't know anything. Now, for his part, Trump has denied doing anything improper. On Thursday morning, he tweeted, "Virtually any time I speak on the phone to a foreign leader, I understand that there may be many people listening from various U.S. agencies, not to mention those from another country itself. Knowing all of this, is anybody dumb enough to believe I would say something inappropriate with a foreign leader while on such a potentially heavily populated call?" And then he said, "I wouldn't do so anyway," but that's a very Trumpian way of dealing with the scandals. Like, you think I'm stupid? If I were going to commit a crime, you think I'd do it in front of you? Which is always, you know, very, very Trumpy. And I'm laughing about that just because it's Trumpy, not because it's good, because it turns out that it isn't. Okay, so what exactly was in this particular complaint? So what Democrats suspect is that President Trump basically was making a deal with the head of Ukraine to pressure the Ukrainian government to investigate Joe Biden, and that in return, he was going to release military aid to the Ukrainians. Now, if that accusation ends up being true, that's definitely impeachable. So let's start from the beginning here. Why exactly would it be that Trump was asking the Ukrainians to investigate Joe Biden? You have to go back to a story by Kenneth Vogel and Yulia Mendel over at the New York Times, May of 2019. Okay, and that story is about Hunter Biden and about Joseph Biden when he was vice president. Here's the story. It was a foreign policy role Joseph R. Biden Jr. enthusiastically embraced during his vice presidency, browbeating Ukraine's notoriously corrupt government to clean up its act. One of his most memorable performances came on a trip to Kiev in March 2016, when he threatened to withhold $1 billion in U.S. loan guarantees if Ukraine's leaders did not dismiss the country's top prosecutor, who had been accused of turning a blind eye to corruption in his own office and among the political elite. The pressure campaign worked. The prosecutor general, long a target of criticism from other Western nations and international lenders, was soon voted out by the Ukrainian parliament.
We now go live to North State High School football with Brent Weber.
Keeping in Shasta Lake, California. Hello, everyone. I'm Brent Weber, and welcome to the KCNR Game of the Week. It's the Valley Bowl. Whether or not it will be the last Valley Bowl, well, only next year's schedule will tell us. But these NAL opponents have played against one another 18 times, and it has been 8 straight for West Valley, the visitors at Central Valley High School tonight, where the Falcons entertain their foes, the Eagles, from the other side of the hill and the other side of the valley at Ron Hale Memorial Stadium. It is a beautiful night. We are on the edge of the northern mountains here and the coastal range, as you love to call them. Yesterday, I hiked up to Chamise Peak with the dogs, and oh, over there somewhere, there it is, overlooking the Three Shastas. We are not far from there in this beautiful setting, a historic setting in Shasta County. Ought to be a fun night. West Valley 4-0, defending section champions. As we mentioned, the Falcons are 1-1 now. They are now coached by Aaron Richards. Richards was on the staff of Greg Grandel and is a former West Valley star player. And he is taking his young team up against the big boys tonight here on Central Valley's home field. We talked to both coaches this week. We're going to first hear from the dean of this game, Greg Grandel. Coach Grandel, in his 188 victory career, he's the coach of the year last year. And we spoke earlier this week, and we talked about going up against yet another team coached by yet another of his former coaches. Here's Greg Grandel.
Yeah. We talked a little bit about that in our scout report, that, you know, what a compliment to our program that we have so many guys out there. We have actually currently about 25 ex-coaches or maybe players, you know, that were some of them coaches and players that are out from Sutter High School North, about 25 guys that have some association with our program. So that is a compliment to our school, and I celebrate it.
You guys have averaged your team 4-0 this year. We started out with the win over Shasta that we had on our first game of the week, then the great comeback win at Foothill that I know gave you some teaching points. We had the broadcast of the Enterprise game, and last week at Red Bluff, you went down there and thumped them pretty good. So 4-0, putting a lot of points on the board, and you go against you take it on the road this week. Don't want to get them overconfident, but you have to feel good heading into this one.
Yeah, you know, we just we don't talk a lot about records or common opponents or anything. We're about always being respectful of our opponent, and then we're just trying to, you know, to get our game right, you know. So it's not that the opponent's not, you know, insignificant, but it's just we just want to keep going in the right direction. So we always, you know, they run the triple option, which is very hard offense to defend, and, you know, I don't particularly care who they played. You know, we're not going to talk about, well, this is a big school or a small school. It's, you know, anything could happen on Friday night. So we just want our guys to be focused on our improvement and things coming out of Red Bluff that we need to get better at. And, you know, we're going against a coach that knows us well. You know, he played here and coached here. His defensive coach was also one of my coaches. So, you know, we obviously have a friendship there and respect there. So he'll have his guys ready, and we'll have to play well to win.
And these are young, these young men are kids, and, you know, there's also that emotional part for most of your kids who, of course, know those coaches as well. So you want to make a positive experience, but not have them get too weepy-eyed about seeing that they're opposing their old coach there.
Right, right. Because, you know, both coaches are very popular guys here. But, you know, it's my job as a senior coach to empower and support guys that want to go into the field. And I think it's a great compliment to our program. And, you know, actually this year I was on a plane flight with Aaron going down to see another one of my coaches. Wedding, and we talked football for the whole trip. So, you know, I want to support him. Of course, you know, he's my guy. So I, you know, I want him to go 9-1 every year. You know what I mean? So, you know, I want to support him. But, Friday night, it'll be a different thing. We're going to, of course, he's going to try to win. We're going to try to win, and we'll see how it goes.
And with that said, it would be good for football in the county if Central moved back to being, you know, a team of a school of prominence. I know a couple of team guys have tried to give it a shot, and hopefully, you know, good for everybody if Aaron can field a competitive team up there.
Sure, you know, and he will. He's going to go, yeah, every new coach. I've had in my 35 years, I've had many of my guys ask, hey, do you think I'm ready? And I tell them no, because you're never ready until you're the head coach, you know. And so, you know, and they kind of look at me like, what? And he's ready for all of it. But if you've never been a head coach, you're not really ready till you're in that arena, and then you'll learn as you go. But he'll get them going. He's a good soldier. He has a good system. Hopefully he could turn them around, and you're absolutely right. You know, if football is going to survive, you want to see all the schools, kids excited about football in each school. So, and some of that excitement is going to come from having some success. So, you know, I think that needs to happen. That needs to happen across the country, you know, mm-hmm. Or, you know, I want to see numbers up in football, not numbers down. So.
Yeah. Well, you touched on this before. Offense has not been a problem for you guys, nor has defense for that matter. But when you're facing a triple option, you know, there's one thing about that offense is, A, you don't see it very often, and, B, it always takes a couple of games to get that thing in gear. Well, they now have a couple of games under their belt. They won one. They lost one. But no matter how you look at it, that's an offense that only improves, theoretically, with reps. So you've got to, I guess, drill that into your defense.
Well, you know, remember the Titans, it's like Novocaine, you know. So it is a good offense, and it is, you know, there's a lot of responsibilities, and guys have to do their job. And if they don't, you know, there's big gaping holes, and that's why guys run that offense. So we're... You know, we got to do a good job. You know, we're going to have to be disciplined and unselfish in some of our techniques versus that offense. And and Aaron is a good offensive mind, so he's going to be a hard guy to match wits with. But he's up for the challenge, I'm sure. Probably pretty excited, and so are we. So hopefully, we're hoping we do well, and everything we put in works. And there we go, you know, big game.
Replacing a young man who was considered by many the best player in the North State last year. You have done a good job, I think, or the students have done a good job for you of using multiple bodies to fill the role. It, in a way, makes you tougher to defend. You've got three guys that have actually four, if Reginato is healthy and all that. You've got Lambert, Morosti, Aguilar, Reginato all racking up some points, some offense, and Wacker's helped you out. And then you unveiled young Mr. Boys on us a couple of weeks into the season.
Well, you know, it is offense by committee a little bit regarding running backs, but it was more so, and Bailey was obviously a very great player and a guy you can't really replace, but some of it's just the philosophical side of offense this year. You know, last year we ran zone read, which is a single back type offense, and, you know, it really premiered that one back, and that was Bailey, and that was great for us because he was quite a guy. But this year we run the fly, and the fly is a offense where a lot of guys can touch it and get a chance. So part of it is, you know, not being able to replace Bailey and running back by committee, but part of it's just the philosophy of the fly offense. You know, we want to give a lot of guys a chance.
Well, before we let you go, I've been wondering, are you one of those coaches who, you know, does things, you know, before the game or at team dinner? Do you have your team? You mentioned, remember the Titans. Do you ever have your kids watch a movie to get fired up or anything like that?
No, we don't do movies, but we do a lot of team builders. We do a team dinner every Thursday night with our team, and I have a speaker come in and speak to the guys. He's actually our chaplain of our team, and he's the head of Fellowship of Christian Athletes here in Northern California, Norm Slosted. So he comes and speaks to our team every Thursday, and we do a team lunch after school on Friday, and so we do a lot of things. I think I got that a lot of that from being a wrestling coach. You know, wrestlers, they starve all week, and it's a glorious time when they finally get to eat, you know, and so it brings a lot of unity, you know, having a meal together. I think having a meal anyway is pretty intimate experience between people, and so it's good for our team to you know, have a pre-battle meal, and we kind of do that. You know, we have shown film in the past, but mostly our setup is the team dinner on Thursday and team lunch on Friday.
Well, Greg,
all right, that's Coach Randall. We'll be back and hear from Coach Richards in just a moment. You're listening to the Game of the Week brought to you by Kia.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Listening to High School Football on KCNR AM 1460.
Back to the Game of the Week, West Valley. Let's hear from Central head coach Aaron Richards, the first of two parts of his interview.
I actually was curious because we were talking about Lance Gosh, who's my defense coordinator. And you know, I've always wanted to be a head coach. I didn't realize it was going to be this early. I'm super excited about the opportunity that Coach Turner, Kyle Turner, gave me. No, as a first-year head coach, you're never ready. There's things that you just don't think about. You know, Greg, we definitely had a great conversation. He's a mentor. Even to this day, I call him all the time and ask him questions. So, you know, you're never ready, but you just got to keep moving forward. And it's just, I told the kids week one, I said, you guys are going to make mistakes. I'm going to make mistakes. And I pointed out on film all the time, hey, listen, this was a bad play call, or this, we shouldn't have done this. This is what they showed on film. So, Just keep moving forward and getting better as a program, and that's pretty much where we're doing every week. So
that's Aaron Richards. We'll hear the rest of that interview at halftime of tonight's game, but it is just about time for kickoff here in our game of the week brought to you by Kia. The Falcons versus the Eagles in this contest tonight. Let's set the stage for you here on a beautiful night, as I mentioned, at Ron Hale Memorial Stadium. It's the Valley Bowl, two Division III opponents. Aaron Richards, his first year as head coach, 1-1, their league opener for both teams. West Valley is 4-0 with wins over Shasta, Foothill Enterprise, and Red Bluff. West Valley comes out wearing white and their Cardinal and Vegas gold numbers. They also have the white helmets going tonight, so they are pretty much going to have dirty uniforms before this night is over. Central Valley coming out in the navy and white, so they are wearing blue on blue and the blue helmets. And tonight, a chance for them to just kind of see what they've learned. They will be kicking off to the West Valley Eagles, I'm going to do that all night long, Eagles against Falcons. And if you're wondering, if Eagles and Falcons were to fight in the wild, it would probably depend on which Eagles and which Falcons would win. I went to the internet to learn. It's got to be decided on the football field. So toe goes to leather. Bryson Barlow kicks it off. It is fielded by Brandon Morosti, and he goes back towards the middle of the field, spun around and knocked down at the 22-yard line, and we are underway. It's high school football tonight in Shasta Lake, in the beautiful orange crowd. The beautiful orange sky is to the west, the end zone that West Valley is marching. They're marching in front of me, right to left, west towards that end zone being defended by Central Valley. The Falcons, of course, with that head coach Aaron Richards, and Orland Frederick is a defensive coordinator. This is his bunch out there, and they're going to try to stop something that Frederick and folks know about, and that is that legendary two-back fly offense. It's an option offense, as not similar to Central Valley's, because it's really not as much of a triple option, but it is an option offense nevertheless, and it is run by the kid, Kit McClellan, the senior, 5'11", 170 pounds, and a fine, fine year he is having so far for his club. His offensive team has averaged 208 yards per game, rushing 107 yards per game passing. There was a face mask at the end of that play, unfortunately, and what that means is it's a first down for West Valley, and they're going to move the chains up 15. It's now at midfield. So Central gets West gets the first break. West Valley, West on offense. Central, there was a penalty. So it will be first and 10 at midfield to start this, to continue this drive. Second play of the game, split backs behind McClellan. He's looking to throw, not even a playback action. He has wide open. Hayden Boyce has 8 to 10 feet yards of separation. He's into the end zone. A 50-yard touchdown pass just drops straight back between the split backs, and Boyce had his man beat. And that is what Boyce has been doing. 11 catches for 307 yards coming into the game. You can do the math. He had a 57-yard touchdown play earlier, but that's a 50-yard touchdown pass. They will send Angel Serrato out to kick the point after Serrato, a 6'2", 190-pound senior, a very good place kicker. His point after is up and good. He's hit 14 now of 15. But, wow, that's a shocker. They assumed, I guess, that West Valley was going to run the ball coming out of the gate, but they were in a good position there, and Central got beat deep. All right, so there's a touchdown. We expect West Valley. They've had some big plays this year, as we've mentioned. A little bit of a breeze going tonight, but still should not affect the ball game at all. So now Central will get an opportunity. Our officials for tonight's game, by the way, referee Don Ray, back judge is Greg Coker, Dan Dawson is the line judge, headlinesman is Derek Willis, and John Moore is the umpire. So Don Ray is the man with the white hat tonight. So Serrato will be kicking off now. Central Valley, you heard a little bit of it in the pregame show. They've tweaked their offense a couple of times this year. Aaron Richard wants to throw them some curves in this one. We'll just see how that turns out. They have two men deep. to return the kick. And it is a good kick to about the goal line, fielded at the goal line, and it will be a touchback. So Central will take it over first and 10 on their own 20-yard line, trailing 7-0, 10:50 to go. This game brought to you by our friends at Kia, and we'll keep it right here as we get set to go to action. Now, we'll talk a lot about Central's offense. For those of you who are unfamiliar with the type of offense that we're talking about, it's a triple option offense. But in the first play, they're going to show some in homage to West Valley. They showed up with a bunch formation and then went to a bit of a trick play. They threw out wide complete. It was I was told by Coach Richards that they were going to do it as an homage to the West Valley folks. They showed up in a bunch formation and then they spread out trips and wide. So it was a complete pass, but nothing really big on it. They picked up four, but it's a good start. Let's see now where they'll go. Normally, you will have a fullback right behind. That's Frank Manriquez. And then one of several wings, essentially, they go left side. Not much of a gain on that. It's not a true wishbone. Some have called it a broken bone over the years. It's better known as a flex bone. Coach Richards went to William Penn and later coached there. He studied Georgia Tech's offense, which is the most prolific offense in the ACC, and they run that flex bone. If you run it well, it is very difficult to defend because you start with that option to the fullback. Again, that's Manriquez. And then you've got a man going in motion. This time they give it to Manriquez right up the gut, a gain of maybe a foot or two, but they're going to have to punt it away. Three plays, nothing negative, so not a bad start for Central Valley, and Bryson Barlow will come out to punt it away. They're on their own 25. So Central Valley has lower numbers in terms of kids in uniform. It's a new look here for them. They've got a new coach and a new program, and you know it's going to be a few years, but you've got to like their gumption. They came out in their first game here, and they beat Trinity 26-0 as the punt lands near midfield, and it's down at the 48-yard line of Central Valley. We will keep it again right here. So West Valley will take it over first and 10 on there. They called it the 40. I call it the 48. And on the clock is 8:58 here in the first quarter. I'm going to keep it here to tell you a little bit more about Central, 1-1. They lost last week to a good Gridley team that we may see later in our broadcast schedule, a very good Gridley team. But they showed some good offense. They averaged nearly 7 yards a carry in that game. And if it weren't for a couple of fumbles, it could have been a different story. So split backs, the fly back now going right to left back, left to right. They give it on misdirection up the middle to Cade Lambert. Lambert off the right side, nice pickup of about 6. Lambert, whose father once played for Greg Grandel, was a preseason MVP, according to the folks over at Shasta County Sports. And he had a good year last year playing backup to young Mr. Solzer. 403 yards and 7 touchdowns, but so far this year he has been the man. 351 yards in 4 games and 7 touchdowns already. They give it misdirection left side, and here's Josh Aguilar who had a 100-yard game last week. He turns the corner, the 40 to the 30, and he's run out of bounds down near the 20-yard line. It'll be marked at the 20 of CV, excuse me, of West. I'm just going to call him West and Center. You guys okay with that? So, a good run. So the Eagles marching there using both of their big backs. That was a nice pickup for Aguilar. About, let's see, around 28 yards, I think, on that carry. Again, no statistician here. We just wing it. Aguilar is the back to the right behind your quarterback. Kit! The kid. Kit keeps it. No, he doesn't. He rolls right around the end. That's Brandon Morosti. He was the fly. And gets maybe a yard. Bryson Barlow came up from his DB position to make the hit. On the offensive line for the Eagles, it's Tyler Bowman at the tight end when they use it. Braden Smith, Brian Miller, Phoenix McDaniel, Darian Harrison, Kitron Ferrier. They send a couple of guys wide to the right and the flyback right to left. Play action, they give it up the gut and not much happening there for Lambert, I believe, on the carry. They'll use Morosti, Boyes, Best, all as receivers. Ashton Wacker has been a money guy down near the goal line for them. Dylan Booth and Wyatt Reginato. And when Reginato is in, by the way, I'll try to let you know because he has had an average of over 10 yards a carry and has been a big play guy when they put him in there. Right now it's the second guy off the left side, Lambert, forward, battle down. A whole bunch of navy blue jerseys and guys there. Looks like he's going to get the first. It'll be first and goal. Manriquez, one of their defensive captains up front, doing the job. Defensively for Central Valley, Isaiah Polk is out injured, so Kyle Marcus, Dylan and Cody Fuentes, the brothers are side-by-side on both lines. Richard Haynes also up front. And Jesse Johnson, you'll hear his name called a lot tonight. And they're going in motion right side. Tripped up behind. Oh, no, he got it up the middle. No, it was tripped up behind the line of scrimmage. Nice job defensively. Hitting Aguilar in the backfield, dropping him for a loss. Christian Maas, Jesse Johnson, I mentioned, Max Gronstadt, Chris Meyer, Frank Manriquez, Jack McEwen, Barlow, Miguel Farr, Antonio Recio, William Mowry. You'll hear all those names on defense for Central Valley. They like to put four up front and then fly to their assignments. They have a wide receiver now. West does wide to the left. That's Jacob Best. They're throwing it a quick cross over the goal line. Is it complete? Touchdown indeed. From the right side wide out, just a little slant in. So West Valley takes a 13-0 lead. I believe that was Reginato slanting in. We'll double check that. But it makes it 13-0. Actually, that may have been Morosti slanting in. We'll get that for sure for you. So Serrato's point after is good. It's 14-0. 5:51 to go here in the first quarter. Back with more of our Game of the Week brought to you by Kia. In just a moment, you're listening to High School Football on KCNR.
Carl's Jr. presents The Breakfast That Got Away.
It's been 5 years since our last morning together. I still remember your smell, your taste. I can't move on. My heart will wait as long as...
The wait is over! Carl's Jr.'s chorizo biscuit and burrito are back on the breakfast menu. Get spicy chorizo, egg, and pepper jack cheese on a made-from-scratch biscuit. Or all of that wrapped in a warm tortilla with crispy hash browns and fresh-made salsa. Get the chorizo biscuit and burrito today at Carl's Jr. Available for a limited time at participating locations.
North State High School Football, exclusively on KCNR AM 1460. North State High School Football, exclusively on KCNR AM 1460.
So a quick slant in pass to Morosti, and it's 14-0 West on top of Central. This is a Davy and Goliath game. Central looking to do something here on their second possession, running back the kick, picking up a couple of yards before being run out of bounds. Willie Mowry, a junior, 5'5", 138 pounds, and we will hear Willie's name called a few times. He is one of the many slot backs. Their offensive front, Jesse Johnson, Richard Haynes, Christian Maas, Dylan, and Cody Fuentes. A lot of guys going both ways, of course. Charlie Stevens, when they have a tight end, he's there. Miguel Farr, Max Gronstadt, Jack McEwen, Willie Mowry, Miggy Farr, and Christian Mayer. I'm giving you all these names because you're going to hear from them. Frank Manriquez is the fullback. McEwen to the right slot. Now he's going in motion to the left. They run the option left side, looking to pitch, and it's slung to the ground and I believe picked up by Central. So loss of a couple of yards. How do you stop the triple option? Well, defensively, and I am no defensive expert, but I've talked to many over the years, assignments. You have to have great linebackers, and you have to have good man-to-man receiver coverage, because you can get burned if they break that bone and throw out of it. But the bottom line is you've got to have good reading linebackers. And honestly, this West Valley team does. They send their man in motion, but the quarterback's going to keep it right up the gut. He scoots forward for a few more yards, gets back to the original line of scrimmage, then another 5 yards. And how could I not have been mentioning Kevin Seaman? He's the senior, and he has been the heart and soul. If you're going to run the triple option, you got to have a quarterback. He's the captain, 6'3", 187. He's 12 out of 26 passing, not bad, 1 TD, 1 interception. But running the ball, he leads their team in carries and yards, averaging just under 4 yards a game, and he scored 3 times in the 2 games. They send a receiver out wide to the right. That's Charlie Stevens. Everybody else is bunched up. Left side hash mark, running the option, quarterback keeps it straight up, not going to get anywhere that time. Guys staying at home on West Valley, and that's the key. That was actually Manriquez. I thought it was the QB. Tyler Bowman, Chris Whitney, Cade Lambert, Sellers, Troutman, all up front. Jake Johnson will move into that nose when it's a nickel, but might not see that. I don't know if we'll see that much tonight. Allen also up front. We'll call Aguilar's name a bunch, Garrett Thibodeau's name a bunch. He's changed positions this year, so he doesn't get called quite as much, but he's still a key player defensively. The punt is off. Barlow got it. A nice one right side about the, again, 48-yard line. Not a great punt, but they did not allow a return. So that is where West Valley will take over. 3:40 to go here in the first. Jacob Best fielded that punt and stepped out of bounds. So if you're Central, you want to stop here. That's a basketball term, but Orban Frederick, you know he wants it. You know he believes in their kids. They only have maybe 22 or 3 players even on their roster. And so at some point, you know, you're less experienced, but hey, it's still a rivalry game. In motion, right side, around the right end is Dylan Booth. He's knocked down, finally pulled down after picking up 10. Dropped on that by the outside linebacker, Max Gronstadt. Gronstadt, a senior, 5'10", 140. I may have mentioned Christian Mayer, Frank Manriquez, Jack McEwen, also linebackers for Central Valley. But the D3 champions, Kit McClellan's got a single back now, slot to the left, and the wing to the right, in motion, going right to left, spinning around and being dropped after picking up a couple of yards there. And, got the first down, I believe. You'd think I'd know these guys already, because this is, what, the third time we've called them. But that's a new flanker to our lineup. It's a young man named Walker Steele. How about that for a name, huh? Dropped for a loss on that particular play. Nothing doing. Aguilar hitting the backfield. Good defensive surge there. So I was looking for the number 5 before, and that's a new number. Walker Steele, 5'10", 145. And he is a senior. So we'll keep our eyes open for him. They break the huddle. The center, Phoenix McDaniels, got a wing to the left. That's Reginato sending in motion left to right is Morosti, but instead they give to Aguilar off the straight off of the 3-hole. I guess that would be. Can't remember my old holes there. Left side, is it even or odd? Coaches will know. Left side just between the guard and the tackle, got 5. Two minutes to go. Central hanging. West has just been moving it forward. Jacob Best, wide to the left, inside misdirection to Lambert, covered up after picking up a yard or two. For all of their size differential, Central's Falcons, they may be small, but their coach says they are scrappy. And you saw it right there in that particular play. That was the Fuentes brothers just stepping in and wrapping him up. Dylan, I believe, was the one. Dylan's the junior, 6'1", 250. Cody, the senior, 6'3", 260. And, you know, those are guys you build around. All right, split backs. wide to the right. They give it to Aguilar. Second man threw around the left side, followed his blocker, stopped on fourth. They were going for it, fourth and four, and that's a big, big stop. Nice job defensively for Central. So that's their big play for the Falcons. The Eagles were out of field goal range, and I neglected to tell you it was fourth down, but we don't call them moral victories because it's way early in this game, but a nice, nice stop there with 1:07. We'll keep it here. This first quarter is just motoring right along. Going to let you know one more time, this game tonight is brought to you by our friends at Kia. Beautiful night for high school football, wherever you are across this great planet. Thank you. You can always go to our website and join the conversation. I know Jared King keeps an eye on those. So now we'll let folks know when we know where you're listening. We appreciate you. Quarterback running the option left. He's hit in the backfield and dropped. Kevin Seaman dropped for about 6 yards on that particular play. That was Garrett Thibodeau who stepped in there. So it'll be second down and 15. Clock getting down to 42. They started this drive on the 32. And let's see if they're going to just do this. Might be the last play. They've got trips out to the right now. So they're breaking up that bone, and somebody's going to call timeout. Let's see. It's going to be Central. So we'll take a quick break. You're listening to the Game of the Week brought to you by Kia from Ron Hale Memorial Stadium. West Valley leads Central 14-0 on the Game of the Week.
A Turtle Bay membership is your ticket for 300 acres of fun. With free admission, discounts, member-only events, and new traveling exhibitions throughout the year. Plus discounts at Sheraton Reading Hotel, Mosaic Restaurant, and more. Your membership gives you year-round access for less than $8 a month for two adults and up to four kids for a full year from date of purchase. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Play, discover, learn. For more information, visit turtlebay.org.
North State High School Football, exclusively on KCNR AM 1460.
All right, so it is second down and 15, maybe the last play of the quarter. They've got trips out to the right. They, being the Central Falcons, trying to move the ball on West Valley. So they've emptied out the backfield. Now they're throwing left side. It's complete to Gronstadt. Gronstadt moves forward. He's got back across the original goal line of scrimmage. Nice pickup of about 7 yards. And I believe that is going to end the first quarter. There's 8 seconds on the clock. And that they're going to let it run out. Coach Richards calling the offensive plays. And they're going to let that first quarter end. But Central showing some positive signs against the big bad boys from up in Cottonwood. The Falcons trailing the Eagles 14-0 at the end of the first quarter. You're listening to the Game of the Week, brought to you by Kia on KCNR.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
North State High School Football comes your way on KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Welcome back to the Game of the Week. The Valley Bowl at Ron Hale Stadium. Will it be the last one? Will it be the last one as league opponents? That's because the Northern Athletic League will take a shuffle next year. Not sure what the official league name will be that Central joins, but they will no longer play West. And whether or not they're going to be able to keep it on their schedule or not, well, I don't know. I would imagine if the coaches can do that, they will. So now, starting second quarter, the Falcons of Central, 3rd and 7, after a nice pickup, quarterback keep running the option left, has it in his hand, Seaman carrying it like a loaf of bread, gets out of bounds. Did he get the first? Yes, it does indeed. Looked like he got a first. So a nice first down for Seaman on the keeper. So we mentioned this earlier. So when you're running a triple option, and I know this is not out of the ordinary. People know this if you've played a lot of football. But those of you who haven't, this starts with that fullback option. And that's Manriquez. And then you've got one of the slots that will come over and wing around. That's the way they do it. All right? And then the quarterback is the third option. So it just depends on who winds up behind the quarterback. And so far, the quarterback's kept it a bunch. On this one, it looks like it may have been a mishandle at the first handoff. Seaman recovered it. So no gain. Actually, no gain at all. It'll be second and 10. Ball is on the Falcons' 43-yard line. Now we're in the second, so they are driving west. They're driving west towards Chamise Peak and Lake Boulevard, and Central is on offense, second and 10. West Valley, the white uniforms against the blue, the Navy. Running the option, they overplay the quarterback, the pitch, but not able to get much more than back to the original line of scrimmage. Well defended defensively. Three guys there on the tackle. Dylan Booth led the way, but that's when you run the option to the short side, that meaning the left side hash mark and run it to the left, you have less room on that pitch. Some teams that got great speed in the backfield will like to run the triple option to the wide side or the open side of the field. It's just kind of – these are the little things that you as fans can kind of watch and determine. So left side hash mark, moving right to left. It is third and long. Third and 10, they've got a slot to the left, one back, the pistol, and the quarterback drops a snap, but we had motion, and a flag is down. Seaman does not look comfortable in that pistol with the direct snap to him, and it was offsides. It's been a clean game so far in terms of penalties. There's just been a couple against the Falcons. But they really didn't need that one there. Now it's in an obvious passing down. We'll see if the Eagles slide things up front. I don't think they're particularly worried about getting beat on the pass. They have good single coverage corners and safeties. Trips to the left, short side of the field. In the pistol again. Back is to his right. He's running an option with that single back. Pitches it to Manriquez. Manriquez has a little bit of running room. Gets back to the original line of scrimmage or thereabouts. We'll call it a pickup of four, but he's still going to be short. They'll have to punt the ball away for the third time tonight. But again, you know, they've dropped the ball a couple of times, have not yet gotten that into a rhythm. And one of the players coming off the field is, I don't know if he's got a little bit of a stinger or what, but we'll keep an eye on that, see if that affects that. Looks like Gronstadt maybe coming off. Trainers are tending to him. So Bryson Barlow takes a high snap. He's a little guy, gets a quick kickoff, angles it to the left, a line drive, gets a good Falcons roll down inside the 20, where it's down by Willie Mowry, and that is where the Eagles will take over, leading 14-0, 9:11 to go here in quarter number two. This is the KCNR Game of the Week.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
North State High School Football, exclusively on KCNR AM 1460.
First down, McClellan rolls left, and Morosti's there. Complete pickup of about 6 yards. So West Valley starting on, as we mentioned, on their own 20-yard line or so. 8:44 and counting down now. 7 yards. They actually gave him pretty good yardage on that. It'll be second and three. Fly in motion from the right. Now he comes back right behind the quarterback. The fake give, the delay up the middle. Actually, it was around to off the right side tackle. Fooled me and fooled everybody else. That was Lambert. They're making Lambert pay. And he's a terrific linebacker and is proving to be a very steady, strong-handed rusher. Has two 100-yard games. So you've got two guys in their backfield rushing-wise, that have turned in 100-yard games. Aguilar did it last week. A little different type runners. Aguilar is 220. They go misdirection inside. That was off the left to Lambert again. Not Lambert. Was that Aguilar? I'm just trying to keep that fly. That was Dylan Booth who came off the fly. So essentially, you can call them different things. They're wings, those flybacks. And they, if you can picture, they go in motion, right, left. You usually start with one back, but then one of these guys is going to go in motion. So we have a strong side right. There's a tight end moving left to right as a flyback. They give it around to the flyback coming from the left to right, and that's Morosti. He's got the first down near midfield to the 49-yard line. The Eagles doing a good job of wrapping that football up as well. Pretty disciplined offensive showing for them so far. Central is trying to hang, make some good things happen. Last time that Central beat West, October 5th, 2012, 8 straight wins, and I'm not saying that to be mean. It's just the fact of the matter. They gave it left side, pickup of about 4 yards. Oh, we've got a little bit of, no, it was a runner was still going. I saw the flag. That was Aguilar. Nice pickup, but let's see. Let's see. Oh, we've got, I believe we have penalties against both teams. And I'm going to my handy dandy football sign. It was unsportsmanlike conduct. And I not against both teams, excuse me, against Central. So that's not one you want. It was a 15-yarder, and I think it was just a late hit. It was down there, so now that gives West a little juice. Aaron Richards not happy. All right, so here's Kit, the quarterback. Strong side right. Slant in back right. Instead checks off, goes left. It is complete to Hayden Boyes. Boyes eludes one guy. He's brought down from behind inside the 10-yard line. Boyes, the junior, 6 foot, 170. He's now caught 13 passes on this season. He's getting close to 400 yards in receiving. He had a 50-yard touchdown pass earlier. So Boyes, they're down now at 6:51 while they bring the chains up. It's first and goal at the 8-yard line now. Man in motion, left to right. They give it to that guy in motion. Follows Aguilar into the end zone. That's a touchdown. I told you to watch out for Wyatt Reginato when he was in the game. He had the blockers off the right side, and Reginato in with the 8-yard touchdown run. So West Valley just running. They're the Cardinal and Gold thrashing machine so far offensively. An 8-yard run. Reginato executed well. The point after, again, attempted by Serrato. Boyes holds. Long snap. Don't know what we're waiting for. Snap is down. Kick is up. And it was good. All right. So it's 21-0 with 6:38 to go. West Valley is, as advertised, Central looking for answers. And we'll see how the Falcons come out in this offensive series, trailing 21-0 with 6:38 to go. You're listening to the Game of the Week, brought to you by Kia on KCNR.
Hi, this is Rob Burrows for the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, inviting you to our annual black and white Boondocker Ball. Dinner and dance and costume contest, Saturday, October 5th at the Anderson VFW Hall in Anderson, California. Live music, buffet dinner, and live auction. Sponsor tables are $500. Tickets are $35 each. For more information, call 378-2280. That's 378-2280. We'll see you there.
You're listening to High School Football on KCNR AM 1460.
Back for our Kia Game of the Week brought to you here on KCNR. I'm looking at the Shasta County Sports preseason guide, which is still just a wonderful job these folks have done. Big fan, obviously, of what Shasta County Sports is doing, and the Holmes family just something special. You should check it out. All right, so the kickoff taken inside the 10 by Miguel Farr. He's got a nice one, still battling before he's finally brought down at the 24-yard line. Stop on the play by Jake Johnson, a big senior. And here's an interesting thing about Jake. You know, he's one of their big, tough guys in the middle. He weighs about 185. He was questionable a couple weeks ago because he got bit by a dog. I mean, he was okay, but, man, that's not one you see on the injury list very often. I imagine he probably has gotten ribbed a little bit by about that. Hey, he got bit by a dog, and he didn't miss a game. So how about that? So Central's got the ball, first and 10 on their own, we'll call it the 24 with 6:29 to go. They're back to that broken bone, and again, problems with the snap. And again, Seaman has to find it. He's really having some difficulty, and it just may just be eagerness. Now, I mentioned that Central hadn't beaten them in a while. They haven't been 500 since Matt Hunsaker left the program. But here's something to keep in mind. When Matt came in, and he's a legendary coach in the North State, when he came in, they obviously didn't win much the first year, but their second year they were 12-0. And that is something that Aaron Richards is trying to point out and keep his team thinking about. Single back is Manriquez behind the quarterback. It's low. We got a snap problem. Seaman is just piled down by Lambert and a couple other guys up front. Might have been Reginato over there. I mean, nobody was fooled up front there. And let's see what the penalty is. Our friend in the white hat, Don Ray. Oh, offsides. Offense. So Central, you know, the less experienced team. But, you know, so far, knock on wood, there've been no turnovers in this one. Central has had to pick up a few balls. Everybody's emotional. Everybody's jacked up. Several coaches on the Falcon staff, of course, came from West Valley. West Valley is the big brothers from down the, you know, you gotta go down I-5 and then cut over through Cottonwood up there by the casino. Or you can go down Market Street once you get out of Shasta Lake. But that's about as far as two teams are in this county from one another. We've got a timeout, 21-0. Central trying to get it right here, 5:40 to go in the first half. You're listening to the Kia Game of the Week on KCNR.
Looking for a home loan? Omega Mortgage Group built its reputation on providing low rates and outstanding customer service. We've worked hard to lower our costs so we can pass those savings on to you. There's a reason so many real estate agents, escrow officers, and other industry professionals refer their clients to Omega Mortgage Group. Contact Omega Mortgage Group today at 223-1400 or visit us at omglending.com and find out for yourself. Omega Mortgage Group is an equal housing lender. NMLS ID number 1253874.
North State High School Football, exclusively on KCNR AM 1460.
I'm back to action. Second down and 15, Central, moving right to left. Left side handoff right up the gut but to Frank Manriquez. You got to get the fullback working in the triple option. You have to. McEwen briefly comes in with the play. Or does he? He actually didn't get into the game. Thought he was running in with the play. 5:20 and counting down. Central, they've kind of had the drop seas a little bit. Let's see how Seaman does out of the pistol here. Manriquez is his back to the left. He fakes the handoff, so play action. Looking to take a shot deep and did not have a man that deep. There was good defensive coverage in the backfield by Jacob Best. If he seams that ball and gives his wide receiver Grunstadt, I believe that was Grunstadt, the chance to slant back in, he may have him, but he just kind of got a little bit of air on it. We see right there that Seaman does indeed have a good arm. He actually overthrew that ball now. And we've got another unsportsmanlike conduct. Oh, my. West Valley declined it. I thought it was not an unsportsmanlike. I don't know what the penalty was.
But the official doing his waving it off was similar to an unsportsmanlike. So they're going to punt it away. Bryson Barlow will be standing on his own 5-yard line. Looks like West is coming at him, and they do, and he gets a good, quick, high kick. Again, no return. Depending on where they market these, they're not going to probably get West is going to probably get pretty good field position. Oh, I think that that's very generous to Central. They're going to mark it at the 47, but I think he could have easily marked it at the Central 40. So West will take it over first and 10 with 4:54 on the Central 47-yard line. We'll keep it right here. Now, if you're West, you want to keep doing what you're doing, not making mistakes, right? If you're Central, you could sure use a turnover. You could sure use a big play on defense. In motion, cutting up the gut, now turning off the back on the left side is the kid that we didn't know about. I believe that was Walker Steele. Yeah, that was Walker Steele. How's that for like a... That's like a... Well, I was teasing, but that is a football name, buddy. That's a Hollywood name. So Steele goes out. They go back to Morosity. McClellan going in motion left to right. That's Morosity. Turns around the right side. High steps. Beats one man. Now stiff arms another. It's a 14 down inside the 10. To the 7-yard line. Finally dragged down by Miguel Farr, who's just coming back from injury. Boy, a big run by Morosity. He had one guy dragging him, and they just kind of high-stepped through him. Wow. West Valley has a lot of weapons. They really do. You got to wrap them up if you're Central. They know it. Big dudes in the backfield right now. Misdirection, right side give as Aguilar gets across the 5, barely. It'll be second and goal. But, boy, Morosity, a nice run. West is just doing what they do. Central is, you know, it is what it is. Almost all their guys play both ways and special teams. West has a lot of the same. You know, but Central, this is going to be gut check time for them. And you just hope that they can keep their quarterback healthy and so on. Now they're bunched up down near the goal line. Aguilar, the only back in the backfield. He goes. They give it to Morosity, though, on the fly right to left, and he just cuts back up and gets in the end zone. Defender had a chance to get him. He turned it inside, but no one there to complete the tackle. That was Chris Maws, who had a hand on him, but there was nobody there to finish the job. So we call that a 4-yard TD run. Again for Morosity. The point after is good. It is now 28-0. And the time on that touchdown, 3:32 to go in the first half. So if you're Central, you got to keep trying to get into a rhythm on offense. That's the key. You got to eat up time. If you're running that triple option, they've only been running it a couple of weeks. They didn't really run that version of the fly, the wishbone version. It's not a wishbone. It's more of a flex bone, that Georgia Tech offense. It didn't run that the first week. So they put that in weeks 2 and 3. They got a lot of yards when they weren't making mistakes last week, but it is a rhythm offense. So I'm not... You know me, I'm pulling for both teams. I want a game here. You've got to start going. If you're Central, it's 28-0. Start right now. Keep your chins up. You're playing the best. You want to be the best, you got to beat the best. You got to get their respect. And that is what Central can try to do the rest of this game. So they have two men deep looking to return the kicks. Willie Mowry is one of them. And Miguel Farr is the other. Nice kickoff. Taken high on the 10. And that is Mowry. He's pulled down at about the 25-yard line. Let's see who was on that stop. Who made that stop for West Valley? That was
Ashton Wacker. Of course, the Wacker name will forever be part of the heart and soul of West Valley. His brother passed away last year before the start of the year. They dedicated the season to him. They honor him every day. There's a plaque with his name on it. His brother's having a good year, getting a chance to play. He's just a junior. Anyway, now we're back at it. Offense. Let's see what Central can do with Kevin Seaman, the captain quarterback, running that flex bone. Trying to find everybody out there on that field. Not always easy to do. Kyle Marquise is now in at one of the wings. Quarterback's going to keep it, but you know what? There was no hole. He was keeping it on the option. When he looked to turn, he got just wrapped up, chewed up by Lambert. You've got good scouting linebackers. In other words, they're watching the play. You've got a key on that quarterback. So with experience, Seaman will learn how to hide the football, how to make pullbacks and his, you know, where he puts the ball on his options better. Single back behind him is Manriquez. They send a man in motion left to right from the wing, running, but oh my! Just gobbled up the middle and dropped for a loss. Checking some of the guys on the roster because a lot of folks are getting to play now for West. Who was that came in and made that hit? That was actually Wyatt. Reginato came in and made that hit, he and a teammate. So that's a drop of maybe five. So it's third down and 15, 16. And that's the problem when you're trying to learn to run a flex bone, a triple option offense. And trying to run that, it's a clock offense. And it's not designed for third and 16, but they're still showing the bone. They send the man. They fake the pitch and said, give it up the gut. That's Mark Manriquez, and he doesn't have any room. And the ball may have come loose. Dylan Booth is saying they got it. And it's going to be fourth down and 15. Central did indeed recover it.
Falcons are facing fourth down and long.
A minute 43 and counting down. So Bryson Barlow has been a busy young man. He's a little guy, junior, 5'7", 121, does the punting and the kicking. Again, they send some guys. He gets a quick one off. It bounces at the central 45, now rolls across the 50 into West territory where it is down with 120 to go, first and 10. West will have it. Well, they're going to call it 119 on the clock here to go in the half. We'll keep it right here as West Valley takes over near midfield. As we said, it's the 46 is where it got marked at, on their own 46-yard line. We'll catch you up to date on some other scores at halftime. But that is a few minutes away. West running left. They give it to Booth around the left side. A pickup of maybe five or six. Actually, that was Steele again. Wait a minute. We got a timeout. So Wes is going to try to take advantage of the time they have. We'll take a short break. You're listening to the Kia Game of the Week on KCNR.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
North State High School Football, exclusively on KCNR AM 1460.
Welcome back. We have a minute 10 on the clock here in the first half. The Falcons of Central Valley having to kind of bow their necks, try to see if they can get a stop. They had a good stop on a fourth down conversion a couple of series ago. And now with second and two, West has another timeout if they were to try to take it. They're trying to, stick another one in the end zone. Looking to pass here. Heat coming. Now tucks it under. Rolls right side. Eludes two, three, four tacklers before he's finally knocked out of bounds. Kit is piled on there. Watch it, kids. You're going to get a flag, and they did.
it was just eagerness. Don't think it was intentional. Christian Mayer came in there. Frank Manriquez in there on the hit. The missed tackles, though. They had him in the backfield. They had him at the line of scrimmage. They had him at the 40. But Kit McClone's just a... He is tough. And let's see what the officials are going to say. Yep, unsportsmanlike. On the offense. Unsportsmanlike on the offense. So, there you have it. Whatever it was that happened down there, the officials not messing around. Don Ray is going to march 15 off against West. Find out Greg Grandel. They're probably now, if this will be second, and they'll march it off from the point of the infraction. So it goes back to the 47. Sorry about that noise. I was kind of making a little my figuring it out, trying to do some math here. So second down and about 9:59.3. Quarterback Kit sends Morosti out wide to the left, slotted to the left, and they have a wide receiver left. Two backs in the backfield. Quarterback rolling left. McClone's looking to throw. Gets some air under it. Into coverage. A leap and a catch. A great catch down on the left sideline. Beating his defender over there. Morosti still battling. Actually, that might have been Hayden Bowes. It was Hayden. Hayden was down there. Boys was there. And Morosti was there as well. But boy, it was a battle. That was a battle. I believe it was with Bryson Barlow. And Boys won that battle. He's one of the top receivers in the North State this year. We have certainly seen him. And now West is indeed going to use that other timeout with 38.5. They want to make it 35-0. They've got goals, too. At halftime, we will just have to wait and see. 38.5 to go in the opening half. Taking a quick break. You're listening to the Game of the Week, brought to you by Kia on KCNR.
Pirate secret to the rescue. Pirate secret to the rescue. Pirate secret to the rescue. Pirate secret's gonna rescue you.
Pirate Secret essential oils can be purchased in Reading at Orchard Nutrition, Enjoy the Store, Country Organics, in Chico at SS Produce, Arcata in Wildberries, and online at piratesecret.com.
North State High School Football, exclusively on KCNR AM 1460.
Welcome back, Kit. Going to be under center for West. They have it first and 10 now on the 15 of Central, looking to pass on first down into the end zone, into some dangerous coverage, and it's incomplete. A little bit of a dangerous throw there. It'll be second down and 10, but that was no play action. Boy, nothing really went off the clock there. I'm not sure. But 31.9, so a few ticks went off. Let's see where we are. Wide out wide to the right, that's best. Slot or a flyback going left to right, rolling right. Kit looking to throw on the run. He has that man, Morosti, down to the 7-yard line. And it'll be third down. They need to get to, that may be a first. They're going to have to measure it. Actually, I did not realize that West had one more timeout. So they're short of the first, it appears. Are they going to measure it? They are short of the first. So it'll be third and less than one, 20.9. We'll keep it right here. So in this game so far, West Valley has not made many mistakes. No turnovers. They scored on a 50-yard touchdown pass. I believe that was the second play from scrimmage. And it was all of a sudden already. Hayden Boyes got his second 50-yard TD reception of the year. Point after made it 7-0. That was right away. On their next possession, again, Kit this time found Morosti. It was 14-0 with 5:51 in the first. In the second quarter, it was 21-0 on an 8-yard run by Reginato, and then a 4-yard touchdown run by Morosky makes it 28-0. So let's get back at it. Morosky has the ball, right side hash mark. They give it to Reginato on the sweep from the right side to the left side. He circles around, heads toward the corner of the end zone, and he is in for the touchdown. Actually was the reverse from the right to the left, but he had some sweep blockers over there. Nice, quick touchdown run for West Valley. And we called it about the 8-yard line. Reginato's second TD 8-yard touchdown run of the game. And with 14.7 to go, the point after makes it 35-0.
The extra point is good.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Falcons will receive the kick when we come back. You're listening to the KCNR Kia Game of the Week.
North State High School Football, exclusively on KCNR AM 1460.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
You're listening to High School Football on KCNR AM 1460.
Well, the Eagles have dominated this game to this point, and they will kick off one more time here in this first half. It's a high kick fielded at about the 20-yard line by Frank Manriquez, and he steps out of bounds immediately to try to stop the clock. So I'm guessing that they're going to call timeouts. See if they've got some kind of razzle-dazzle they can do. You know, it's one of those games where you want to – you got something in your playbook. You coached against him before, and I'm sure that Aaron Richards wants his kids to have fun tonight, even though they might be outmanned to this point. You still want to try to find things to build on. So that timeout here with 13 inside 14 seconds. A year ago, Central missed the playoffs. But this is a year that they're trying to kind of throw the gauntlet down, say we are going to be a new franchise, a new look Central Valley team. So actually he's just going to take a knee on that one. No gain, no yardage. Let the clock tick, and that will be the first half. Coming up at halftime, we'll hear part two of our interview with Central Valley first-year head coach Aaron Richards, and we'll run down the scores from games elsewhere when we return. We'll also have a recap for the first half. It's all coming up during our halftime. This broadcast brought to you by Kia. It's the West Valley High School Eagles up 35-0 on the kids from Central Valley, the Falcons, in Shasta Lake. Brent Weber with you. We'll be back with the halftime in just a moment on KCNO.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like preventive care. Our physicians are committed to keeping you healthy with the right vaccines and wellness checks for your children. For seniors, we can review prescriptions to make sure you're on track. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
You're listening to High School Football on KCNR AM 1460.
Welcome back to the Valley Bowl. Yes, indeed, it does get a little loud because the programs are doing their halftime, and hopefully you can hear me giving you some updates elsewhere. The score here at the Valley Bowl, 35-0. West Valley is hitting on all cylinders. Can they complete the job? Greg Grandel and Jim Virch's team have been pretty much perfect in this opening half. They had one drive where they went for it on fourth, but the Falcons still not in rhythm offensively. If they can get it going, chew up some clock, and get back into this thing, they can certainly try to have some fun. But right now, let's get a look at the high school scoreboard for you out in the Twitter sphere and elsewhere. Of course, this one's 35-0 at halftime. Lassen leads Foothill. I'll tell you, we saw Lassen last week. Very impressed. Lassen leads Foothill 28-7 at halftime. How about that? Wairika is on top in their game, 7-6 with the lead. Let's see what else we have here. Hate when guys tweet and they don't actually say the team's names. Because you know what, guys? Sutter playing Chico tonight. 35-yard field goal. Sutter leading the Chico High School 20-0 now. What's that other game? Try to find a couple of these other games for you. Let me run down some of the Max Prep scoreboard for you. Williams leads Willows 14-7. Reading Christian, a good win, 54-6 over Butte Valley. They needed that. Tule Lake over Dunsmuir, 49-0 in the fourth. Biggs on top of Maxwell, 42-6. Let's see. Live Oak leading Gridley, 7-0 at half. That's some kind of score, isn't it? Paradise. Wow, what a year. A horrifying year in that city with the loss of life and homes. Their football team, their high school, is rallying together, and they are playing great. They're beating leading Durham in the second, 20-0. They're undefeated this year. We mentioned Sutter was on top of Chico, 20-0. Winners leads Wheatland, 7-6. Esparto over Forest Hill, 27-8 that score. And let's see if I can find a couple of other scores for you that are all in progress out there. Now, I know I had a Corning score for you, didn't I? Who's Corning playing tonight, folks? Didn't I have that on the scoreboard? Anybody see that? I'm asking out there in radio land, I guess. I guess I don't see them there. All right, well, other scores. Let's see. Nothing yet from Shasta Eureka. They're out on the coast. Anderson is in Oroville tonight. Let's see if we can get something going on that one. All right. Red Bluff leading the Cards 13-7 right now. That is late in the first half. That's from Chip Thompson. From the Red Bluff paper and the Chico paper. Sorry about the loud. Hopefully you can hear me. And we'll run down and get you some more scores from the other games out there. We mentioned Sutter is winning big. Let's see who else we have. Rancho Cotate, if that's how you say that, C-O-T-A-T-E. Sorry, I don't know that. Leads Pleasant Valley. That's in the second quarter. Wairika beating Henley, leading Henley. We mentioned that to you a little bit earlier. Some scores are slow coming in on some of these games tonight. A few of them are out and about, so it doesn't look like we've got much to tell you about to this point in terms of some of these scores. We mentioned Live Oak was beating Gridley. Boy, if you're shutting out Gridley, you're doing something special. And that looks like all I'm going to have for scores at this point, so hopefully we'll get some more to pick up for you. If we get any more updates, we'll get them for you at the end of the first half. All right, we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we will hear part two of our interview this week with Central Valley's first-year head coach, Aaron Richards. This is the Game of the Week brought to you by Kia on KCNR.
We're Billy and Patrick for our friends at Reading Kia. We've got some great news.
The Kia Summer Clearance Event is going on right now with exciting deals on every vehicle in Kia's award-winning lineup.
And the awards just keep on coming.
Kia has just been named the highest-ranked mass-market brand in initial quality 5 years in a row. Highest-ranked 5 years in a row.
And right now is a great time to celebrate this achievement with the Kia Summer Clearance Event.
You'll find great savings on every new 2019 and 2020 Kia.
Like the 2019 all-wheel drive Kia Sorento, the 2019 Kia Niro Hybrid.
I have one and I love it.
And the 2020 all-wheel drive Kia Sportage.
Every model in Kia's inventory is priced to go.
Check RedingKia.com for all the details that make a great deal at Redding Kia on Cypress Avenue in Redding.
Billy is the marketing manager at Redding Kia. For J.D. Power 2019 award information, go to jdpower.com/awards for more details.
Redding Kia summer clearance ends September 30th, 2019. RedingKia.com.
Carl's Jr. presents The Breakfast That Got Away.
It's been 5 years since our last morning together. I still remember your smell, your taste. I can't move on. My heart will wait as long as...
The wait is over! Carl's Jr.'s chorizo biscuit and burrito are back on the breakfast menu. Get spicy chorizo, egg, and pepper jack cheese on a made-from-scratch biscuit. Or all of that wrapped in a warm tortilla with crispy hash browns and fresh-made salsa. Get the chorizo biscuit and burrito today at Carl's Jr. Available for a limited time at participating locations.
North State High School Football comes your way on KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Well, in the first half, West Valley's, they brought the wood from the woodshed. They're up 35-0, a nearly flawless first half, but we'll tell you more about it a little bit later. The young team from Central, the Falcons, you know, they've been playing tough, hanging in there. They had a couple of big defensive stops in the first half. So, we'll recap this first half for you and, get a glance at what we expect out of the second half in a moment. But building a program, rebuilding, trying to turn a program around that, you know, was once a real gem here in the North State. So many great athletes have come out of Central over the years, and the numbers are down, enrollment is down, and fewer football players are out, fewer young men are playing football out there. And so it's a tough job. And the guy that decided he was the right one for the job was Aaron Richards. He was hired by the principal, Kyle Turner. Of course, Kyle, he's a well-known name in this area, and he said that he feels they may be a couple of years away, but he is very excited about Coach Aaron Richards taking over this program. They are 1-1 coming into tonight's game. They beat Trinity the first week. They lost to Gridley in week two. Let's rejoin that interview that we had earlier this week with first time he's been a head coach at the high school level, Aaron Richards with Central Valley.
But you got the first one out of the way, and you know that's always important for any program. You got the game ball up there. I see here in the coach's office that the kids gave you with the win over Trinity to start things off last week. Reality check: Gridley came back big, and although it was a football game, in the end, where does that put you? 1-1, where it's not hard to convince the kids they got a lot to work on.
You know, it's funny because first of all, I'll talk about the game ball. They gave that to me. So we have a new tradition here about earning your stickers. So they get their stickers after their first win as a varsity player. Then that day we did it, they presented me with the ball. And so that's something I'm going to treasure for a very long time. It's really, really, really neat. To answer the other side of your question, you know, we fought, you know, the effort and, the way that we played football against Gridley, we played a really, really good football team, and it was a competitive ball game, all the way through. We made too many mistakes. You know, we had almost 400 yards of offense in that game, and it wasn't that they, you know, made plays on defense. We stopped ourselves. You know, they're a good team too. I mean, give them all the credit. They came out and they, you know, flat put us on us, but the biggest thing is, you know, making sure we take the football. And making sure that we really, really try and just limit penalties and mistakes, and we'll be okay.
Well, it is, you know, stopping teams one thing, moving the ball, like you said, you guys have done that. And as coaching staff, you mentioned that you've tweaked your offense as you've gone through these first couple of games to fit your kids, as is often the case. What are we going to see from you on Friday night?
You know, there's going to be some things that you know, I'm a big believer in making sure that you have something every week so that people haven't seen it and they can't be prepared for it. Just a little flavor of the week, Baskin Robbins flavor of the week, if you would. But you know what? We're going to come out and we're going to do what we do now. We're going to run flex bone triple option. There's going to be a couple different things that they haven't seen. They're going to have things that we haven't seen. You know, thank goodness that you know, we have some familiarity with what they do, or else, you know, it'd be one of those things where I'd be, you know, at a pretty good disadvantage. They're a very well-run organization, Greg, Jim, you know, Frank, and all the rest of the staff out there, Coach Tibb. They do a great job getting these players ready, and they're bought in. And you know, some of the themes that we have this week, you know, on defense, we gotta make a play. You know, we got to the right spot last week, but we have to make the play when we get there this week. You know, and we want to earn respect. You know, I think it's really big. You were talking about the Gridley stuff after the game. The kids, you know, they basically asked me, when can we play them again? We want to play them again. You know. And they realize now the steps that we have to take to be successful. And it's cool just watching this progression of this group getting closer and closer together because, you know, listen, we might have, you know, 20, 22 kids, but they're together and they like each other. And I know from, you know, previous years that means it's special. So I'm super excited about Friday.
Usually you've got to keep kids' emotions in check, right? I mean, you know, they're going to – but they feed off their coaches. So how do you keep – your emotions in check because that deep tie to West Valley. I mean, I try to put myself in your shoes. You want to have a blast and you know, but you don't want your kids to lose sight of, do their job one play at a time kind of thing.
Sure. And you know, I do think that, it will be different. Just like when I came back from coaching college football and stepped on campus, it'll be different experience walking, you know, out there as a coach at West Valley, a different experience walking on the practice field, on the game field, out there at the pasture. So lining up against West Valley, it'll be different. It's going to be something new and exciting. But how cool for the North State that now we're going to have more competitive football week in and week out. And you know, the good thing is coaching is, you know, definitely a big brotherhood and, you know, I want to go out and I want to compete with them and I want to go make sure that, you know, there isn't, oh, there's a W on the schedule this week or whatever, you know? So, I think this is really cool. Greg and the rest of the staff, like I said, they mean the world to me. They're mentors. I lean on them a lot. So going out and competing with them is going to be really special on Friday night.
League football.
Yeah. And I, you know, that's another thing I told the guys, listen, you want to be league champs if that's one of your guys' goals. Well, last time I remember, I think they're defending champs, defending Northern Section champs. So you got to go earn it. Nothing is given around here. So let's go try and earn one this Friday.
I asked this of Greg and I try to ask it of coaches when I think about it. You're developing traditions here. You mentioned one with the stickers and things like that. As a coach, you also have to develop. You want things to come naturally, how you get a team's focus. Are you the storyteller or are you the guy that plays a video clip? But what do you do to try to connect with the guys intellectually or beyond just football?
You know, probably the most important job I have is – getting them, trying to use football as a vehicle to make them successful in life, which is something that, you know, Greg did a great job. You know, football has given me everything, education, employment. So really, I mean, I don't think I'm a great storyteller. I feel at times I find myself standing on a soapbox, but I think I am the motivator. I don't use video clips a whole lot. I'm not a big pregame rah-rah guy because if Friday Night Lights don't get you fired up to go play football with your best friend, then I don't know what we're doing. So the biggest thing is, you know, we use lessons in football, trying to get them ready to go and be a positive, you know, part of our community. And that's why, you know, Shasta Lake is a great place to raise family. And, you know, just that's why the North State is a great place to be a part of. So, yeah.
Playing at home, that has to be something special, right? You've got a homecoming game coming a week from now. You got a chance to bring in the bad boys this week. That old cliche about taking care of your business in your own backyard, that's important to a program because it goes beyond the football team to the school itself.
Sure. You know, it. I've already told the boys this, and we've talked about it. But kind of a message was I don't really necessarily care if we have to play in a parking lot. Okay? And it is more special that your friends and family are going to be here, and it's a home game, and it's a league game, and it's, you know, the Valley Bowl or the Rally in the Valley or whatever you want to call the dang thing. You know, it's a Friday night football game in Northern California, and that's something cool and special. And you and your best friends get to go put it on. You know, how lucky are you? So, yeah, we're going to do our best. We're going to play, you know, as tough as we possibly can, defend our home turf, you know, from a really good 4-0 Eagle squad, defending section champs. You know, and I also kind of told the boys, you know, one of our first goals, too, offensively, is we really want to get more first downs than Sutter did in that section championship game. You know, we need to score some more points than the rest of the Reading schools did on their defense.
All right, well, that is part two of our interview with Aaron Richards this week. And believe it or not, they're not messing around here. They're already on the field. They're ready to start the second half before the horn even sounded to start the half. So the officials are waiting on the clock to tick down, so I won't be able to give you any score updates. I will tell you, I will recap the first half scoring for you in just a couple of seconds. But thank you to the coaches tonight. And you could see, hopefully, a little bit of that speech that Aaron Richards gave his kids earlier. He gave it to them at halftime as well. You got to look at this as this young team. You know, remember the Titans, right? You got to believe in yourself first. Make the game start now. Central's not made a ton of mistakes. They've had a few penalties. But we'll just have to see, you know, how they can answer West Valley in the second half. Toe meets leather. We are underway, and the opening kick here in the second half goes out of bounds. I don't think that was Angel Serrato's plan, but that means that they'll take the ball. They, being the Central Valley High School Falcons, at home here at Shasta Lake, Ron Hale Memorial Stadium will have it first and 10. On the 20s, where are they going to put that ball? Come on, fellas. They're going to mark it on the 35-yard line. South Central has it first and 10 on their own 35 with 12 minutes to play since the ball was kicked out of bounds. So they're coming out with that flex bone this time. And now the quarterback under center, single back behind him. Left side hash mark. They send a man in motion from the wing left side. And again, on the initial option off the fullback, the ball kicked loose, but Central was able to recover it. So Kevin Seaman is, I think, in this game, and this is no knock on Gridley, but I think more than anything, West is penetrating. So they're pushing their linemen back into that first option, and Seaman has struggled. That's the one you have on the hip of the fullback, and you got to pull it out. You got to make that decision. Well, those white jerseys with the maroon and gold lettering of West have been pushing that line up front, and it has really made it difficult. This time the pitch to the back is fumbled in the backfield. It's scooped up and taken in for a touchdown, the first turnover of the game. Jacob Best returns it 34 yards, the first turnover, and that was one where it was the pitch to the trailer, and it bounced around off his hands, and Willie Mowry was the guy, and the slot back, and, well, it's all of a sudden 41 to nothing. We're just 1 minute in to this, well, actually 52 seconds in to this second half. So kicking the point after is Angel Serrato. He remains perfect on the night. Oh, no, he missed it. Just as I said it. It looked good from here. But he is not perfect. The PAT fails. And it's 41 to nothing. And that one was recovered, as I mentioned, just scooped up by the big guy, Jacob Best. He was scouting that from the strong safety position and was in the backfield. He was eyeing that flyback. It's not a flyback in this offense, but it's the pitch back, the quick back, the half back, the guy in motion. And he was eyeing him, and he was scouting him. In other words, he was following him, keying on him. And when that ball got kicked off the chest of the back of Willie Mowry, he was right there, got not a lucky bounce, but got a fortuitous bounce, and Jacob Best gets the touchdown run. So the clock at 11:08, it is now 41 to nothing. The officials are trying to get it together here. wasn't what Central had hoped for at half. Boy, you could just feel the air leave the stadium there for the Falcons. Tough play there. Angel Serrato going to kick it off from his own 40-yard line. Again, they're trying some different things. That's a good kick this time. Fielded at about the 6 or 7 yard line. That is the same young man, Willie Mowry, and he gets it up left side before running out of bounds. And the ball will be placed, well, where are they going to put it? A lot of talking amongst our crew tonight. There we go. Ball placed on the 29-yard line. So Central gets it first and 10 on their own 29 with 10:39 to go in this third quarter, trailing 41-0. If you're the Falcons or their fans, you got to say, okay, we've got to get this offense going. We've got to start moving it. So Mowry essentially is in a slot. So he's a broken bone to the left, single back behind. They sent a man in motion from right to left. He fakes, and they didn't buy Kevin Seaman's fake. He got gobbled up by about four guys as he kept it. No gain, maybe a loss of a yard. Seeing a lot of substitutes for West Valley, so they're trying to get as many snaps in. A few of their regulars up the gut are coming out. We just saw Joshua Aguilar, who's one of their big play guys on defense. He's taking a break. So we might be calling some new names on defense for West Valley, the Eagles. On defense against the Falcons. They're on their left side hash mark. Man in motion from right to left. Going back the other way. The quarterback was a little bit of a keeper. A naked keeper, in fact. To sweep around the right side. And he gets a nice pickup. It was man on man there. Got maybe 5 or 6 yards on that play. And that was Mike Harris on the stop. 5'8 senior. Looking into the sideline for the sign. Coach Richards on third down and four. Nice pickup. And they've really stymied Seaman tonight. I mean, he has not been able to turn it up the middle. I believe they really thought they might be able to, you know, make some yardage in the middle of the line, but West has given them nothing. And they, in fact, have really had surge defensively. And that'll hurt the options. Running it left this time. He's tripped in the backfield, had no choice but keeping it, and winds up falling. Again, that was Mike Harris. And it'll be fourth down, and they're going to have to kick the ball away again. Seaman wants to go for it. But he's not going to win that argument. No sense in giving as you're trying to build something here in the second half, and you're trying to, you know, get some positives out of this for this very young Central Valley team, a very thin team. So now they're going to punt it again. Barlow, he gets this one off. Pretty good one. It'll land at about the 38 and then bounce up and down a couple times before Central will down it on West's 39-yard line, in fact. And we have a flag after the play. Let's see what referee Don Ray has for us. Can almost hear Don. All right, we got two penalties on Central Valley. Oh my. So we had a is that illegal participation? Yeah, I think we had an illegal participation. And West Valley's just gonna decline. The other penalty was, what was that other penalty? It doesn't really matter. They got declined. So either way, not what they wanted. West is just going to take it on their 40-yard line. So West has it first and 10. We'll call it their own 40. 6:56 to go, and they're just lining up. Looking to do more of the same, it looks like. All right. Kit quarterback. Under center, gives it to the second guy, Lambert. Lambert fights left side for 3, maybe 4 yards. Mowry on the tackle. There's one injured player, and I don't know who it is. I don't want to scare any moms on the Central Valley side. He's got his arm in a sling and his shoulder on ice, so it's probably a shoulder injury. I don't know who that is. He's not wearing his number, but so Central's down a player right now. Toss left side. Lance Lambert picks up one block, then just lowers his shoulder and just bowls over Willie Mowry as he tries to turn the corner. Gets a yard or two. Give him two. It'll be third down about six. Clock continues to tick. 5:53, 52, 51. After this next, whenever we have our next timeout, I'll just keep it right here and bring you some scores, some score updates. I'll recap that first half scoring I didn't get to give you. They send a man in motion from the right side to the left, misdirection in the backfield. They give it to Lambert off the right tackle. He stiff arms one man, turns the corner at the 40, now trying to get down inside the 20, but he's knocked out of bounds at the 21. We're going to have a flag. Not sure what it's going to be. That was a tough one. I thought that was Lambert, but it was not. That was Ashton Wacker. Excuse me, Ashton. Nice carry. Ashton's number 8, Lambert's number 9. It was very Lambert-esque. Aguilar back in the game. And they're going to walk it off against Central. So it'll be first and goal from the 10. Let's see if it may be. Let's see if they need to get into the goal, into the end zone. No, they're going to drop that. First and goal from the 10. They give it to Aguilar. He covers up the ball as he goes through the line of scrimmage. Had a big hole off the left side down inside the 5, down to the 4. Wouldn't be surprised to see that same play again. Although coach is trying to get everybody some touches right now. Eric Manley in the game at one of the wideouts. Hayden Boys. Let's see who we've got. Yeah, a lot of folks. The new kid, Walker Steele, is wide to the left. And he's going in motion to the right. They give fake it to him and give it right up the gut to you-know-who. Touchdown. Or is it? Wait a minute. The kids are calling it a touchdown. And indeed, the official calls it a touchdown. So that was Ashton Wacker scoring his fourth touchdown of the year. I said, you know who? Well, you didn't know that, did you? It was Ashton Wacker's touchdown. And they've been giving him opportunities down in pay dirt, really protecting the football well. They're using a running clock now, so the clock, the touchdown would have been about 3:22. Point after. Is good this time, and it's 48-0. And that's not what you wanted if you're Central, but, you know, you got to keep looking to add some things. So first half, let's do that recapping of the scoring. Second play of the game, Kit to Boys, 50 yards, touchdown. Then McClellan to Morosti, again, a 9-yard touchdown, made it 14-0. That was how it ended the first quarter. Reginato had an 8-yard touchdown run, made it 21-0. And Morosti, a run that made it 28-0. And then another Reginato 8-yard run, 35-0. No turnovers in that first half, but there was here in this half, and it cost Central, made it 41-0 in their first series. Fumble scooped up by Jacob Best, and he took it in from about the 35-yard line for the score. They missed the point after, so West has not been perfect tonight with everything. Ashton Wacker scores on that drive here as we're nearing the end of the third quarter to make it 48-0. All right, keeping it here, ready to kick off. Angel Serrato puts toe to leather. Fielded on the right side at the 10. Now going cutting back left after fumbling it for a moment. Picking it up and cutting back near midfield before he's pummeled over there. And it will be. The ball got popped loose. It was Antonio Riccio, but recovered by Central. It's been a game of maybe some nerves for Central. Maybe it's the little guys running up against a big team that is playing terrific football. West Valley was undefeated in the NAL last year. They lost just once last season during the regular season to Enterprise. They've already avenged that. They lost in a bowl game after winning the Northern Section Championship and beating Sutter. In that first half, West Valley outgained Central 280 yards to 27, and it's more of the same here in the third quarter so far. So let's see what we might get razzled down. We're going to have a little timeout called so they can stop that clock, get their offense going. The running clock, sometimes you've got to use your timeouts to kind of get you guys on the same page. And we'll take a quick break. Central Valley has the ball, first and 10, inside their 20 late in the third quarter. You're listening to the Game of the Week brought to you by Kia on KCNO.
Hey, guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
North State High School football comes your way on KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Our Game of the Week brought to you by Kia, back in action late third quarter after the timeout. Central looking to do a little razzle-dazzle. They hit the screen. That's Maori complete for a first down. Nice quick pass out in the flats from Seaman to Maori. So we might see them try to run a little offense now, a little hurry up. They're on the running clock scenario right now. So the clock does not stop except for when after the point afters, I believe. And let's see if they're going to let it run out here in the third quarter. Yep, we have a penalty, so the quarter shouldn't end on a penalty. They're going to figure out what the penalty is. It's against West Valley. It's declined. Center wants the football, and they want to just keep moving. So that's the end of the third, 48-0. West Valley in complete command, but the Falcons looking to get something going here, something positive as the new upstarts and their head coach try to not quit. They're not going to do that. They're taking on and show something here in the fourth quarter against West Valley. You're listening to the Kia Game of the Week on KCNR.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
North State High School football, exclusively on KCNR AM 1460.
Well, you can hear the band doing their thing. Saints, is that no? Well, either way, nice job by the band. I tried to sneak a snack in there, could you tell? First down, first play, third quarter. Pitch coming off the... off the wing for Central. That was Frank Manriquez. So they sent him out on a quick pitch left, one of the bigger gains of this game. He's got the first. So now as we head into the fourth quarter, Central trying to get something going. The officials, even with the running clock, are sure taking a lot of time. Okay, so we had another penalty. And I tell you, I haven't seen unsportsmanlike conduct called this many times. Obviously, there's some jawing going on. It's not fighting. I'm not seeing anything like that. We might have seen a late hit or two, but it's got to be jawing. Just got to be guys talking. And, you know, Central's not quitting. And it's an emotional game for the players of West Valley because they want to beat their old assistant coach. And the young kids on West will remember that Aaron Richards was the junior varsity head coach last year at West. So he knows a lot of these young kids. Running out of the pistol, fakes the pass, now tucks it under. It was a quarterback draw, got maybe a yard. Up front, on the stop was Armando Castillo, big kid, 6'6", 2'6". Wow. He's just a junior. A lot of guys getting in the game now for West Valley. They have, I would say their roster is easily twice the size of Central's. But Central's, they're out there. They're showing their pass formation now. Again, out of the pistol, single back to his left. Looking to throw is Seaman. Let's see what he does. He has trips to the right. Nice step back. Looking deep. And he's got a man down the left side, but it's off the mark and intercepted. No, it's incomplete. Oh, it is? Well, the official's raising his hand saying it's incomplete. It's incomplete. Yeah. I say it. That was not a complete pass. The official immediately waved it. So the PA guy, who does a great job here, by the way, excellent job. Just like me, every now and then he's wrong. I was right. So it'll be third down now. Ball's placed on about the 36 and a half. They don't really do half yards. So we'll call it a long 36 of West. The Falcons have a man out wide to the right. I don't think he was set. They did not throw a penalty flag, and he's just throwing it away. It was a fly pattern intended, I think, out there for Antonio Riccio, and I think Antonio just wasn't in his spot. And they're going to make a couple of changes. Bryson Barlow going to come in and not have to punt it away. But I think, quite frankly, Central Valley's lucky they didn't get a procedure penalty because I don't believe that the young man was open out there, was set on the line of scrimmage, and he was the seventh man out there. Okay, whoop, high snap. Barlow, though, fields it, gets it off. Nice leg to the right side. There'll be no return. It'll be down at the 20 by Central. Frank Manriquez. I'm going to keep it right here and give you some score updates. I hate to promise and not deliver. Let's see what we've got for you. Okay, Gridley up 16-7 in their game against Live Oak, so they've answered the call, we'll say. Lassen, late in the third. Foothill is coming back. It's 35-21. Lassen on top. Red Bluff. Let's see. Don't have a score update. We'll try to get to that. Henley leading Wairika 13-7 at half. 33, I believe that's Paradise at 33-0. Sutter scored early in the first, second half. They're up 26-0 on Chico. Okay, so first play for West Valley. Pickup of a couple of yards. They got four while I was giving you that score. Just trust me, they got 4 yards. I'll tell you what, I give my the Central Valley student body. They're not quitting. They're standing. They're cheering. They're not quitting. West fans are here too. A little misdirection, fake to the right now. Pitch to the left in the backfield. We've got a flag where you'd normally get it on a blocking call. That's Eric Manley, so it looks like we're going to see quite a bit of Manley now. Manley's a big kid. 6'1", but only 135. I don't know if I believe that 135. Looks like we We're going to get some snaps for other guys, too, if you're West Valley. Hayden Boyes, is he in at quarterback? No, it's got to still be Kit. They're in the middle of the field. It's second down and about 13. Three men bunched to the left. Quarterback gives it on the right to left reverse. Knocked down at about the, 22-yard line. And that's Walker Steele. Just trying to get an eye on who's in there. With some of the changes, yeah, they are running. Hayden Boyes is in there at the quarterback. He's just a junior. They're grooming him. Boyes is under center, single back. They send a man in motion left to right. That's Steele, the give to Steele on the reverse, and he's down across the 25, 6, 7-yard line. So they're getting some snaps now for Hayden Boyes. That'll be fourth down. They're going to punt the ball away. Did not get to, they needed to get outside their own 30. Josh Aguilar runs in. He is their punter. He's got a great leg. He's built like a, like a fullback. He is big and strong and stocky. And boy, that one was dangerous down on the coverage. It almost, it wouldn't really matter, would it? that was the wrong team I was concerned about. Almost hit the cover man. Took a West Valley roll down to about the 24-yard line, and that is where, with the clock ticking at 4:10 Central, will take over. As we mentioned, this one has had a running clock much of the second half. It's been a tough one, but Central fans are here. The band is here. West fans have stayed, too, the ones who made the 22- or 3-mile drive. And we'll bring you any other scores we can here. Let's see what we have on our schedule. Next week, by the way, we'll be bringing you UPrep. Our plan is to bring you the Western Sierra Collegiate Academy at UPrep game next week. They're winning tonight. There's a toss right side on the pitch, turning the corner at the 25 down to the 30-yard line. That was Frank Manriquez, so trying to get Manriquez outside. We're used to seeing him get it on the inside. But so we'll get a look at Darren Trueblood's team next week, next Friday night, in our game of the week. That's the plan. Clock ticking down to 2:56 now. Second down and 3 or 4. East Nicholas leading Pierce now 18-6. Now, UPrep is actually losing now at Colusa. That's a big game for them. 21-20 UPrep trailing. Quarterback takes it. Keeper up the gut. Nothing doing. They have really shut down Kevin Seaman tonight. I mean, he's the heart and soul of the offense, but they've keyed on him. Foothill, I don't know. They've got more coming back to do that. Again, trail by 3 touchdowns, 42-21 in the fourth at Lassen. Lassen, I'll tell you, I'm just saying, Lassen might be tough. Looking forward to that game down the road, right? Portola over Weed, 26-6. And those are some of the scores that we have for you. Quarterbacks alone in the backfield now. His trips to the right. He's rolling left, though, where he has a single receiver underneath the wide receiver. First down, driven forward after making the catch. Nice catch. Holding on to the football there was Max Kronstadt, 5'10", senior. Most of these kids for Central played every down tonight. I mean, offense and defense. And you got to give them credit. They're still out there trying. Minute 26. They may run out of time. They want to get on the board. You know, they want to get on the board. They want to have something to take home with them. They're going to win some games this year. Not going to be tonight. And West Valley is more and more looking like the team to beat. I don't know. If not in the section, certainly in the NAL. Looking to throw right. They've got a little screen out there. It's complete. The pick block doesn't work, though. Maury short of the desired yardage. It'll be second down and about seven. We're getting down to 45 seconds. So it might get one or two more plays off for this one. They began using the running clock at about 11 minutes to go in the third after West Valley had built up that 41-0 lead. They now lead 48-0, and I'm not sure Central's going to get a playoff. Coach Richards is really having a long chat with his quarterback, Kevin Seaman. I really would like to know what's being said there. I think he wants to tell him he's proud of him for trying, for giving it their best, and they're going to come back next week. If I know anything about Aaron Richards, he is going to shake every man's hand and tell him, you gave it your best tonight. We just aren't quite there yet. But Central Valley will live to fight another day. West Valley, well, they still are atop the heap in the NAL, if not the D3 Northern Section. A final of 48-0. We'll have a recap, run down some scores for you in just a moment. You're listening to the Game of the Week, brought to you by Kia on KCNR.
So what's scorecard scribbling's all about?
I was scared for my life at that point. I remember looking to the right and seeing all the medical supplies there, and I'm just thinking, are they going to cut off a leg? What are we doing here?
I had a coach that would come up to me on the plane, stick his hand out. I knew what he wanted. Who am I not to give him to him? Like, I thought, okay, job security.
We came to the ballpark every day. We knew we were going to win. It's a great experience, a great feeling to be on a club like that.
Scorecard Scribblings with Brent Weber, Wednesday night from 6 to 7 on KCNR.
Hello, I'm Carlene Niver, and I would like to personally thank you for your support while we celebrate over 4 years of business at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar. I'm so proud and excited to see our growth with loyal and new guests alike. Those of you who know me know that I love great food, but more importantly, I love to enjoy myself wherever I go. And that's what my dining team and I strive for when you walk into Carlene's. As the weather transitions, don't forget to book our banquet room for any of your upcoming holiday needs. We also offer outside catering for any occasion. Open 7 days a week, 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Happy hour from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., located in downtown Reading on Center Street. A pinch of patience, a dash of kindness, and a spoonful of laughter make for the best dining experience. I look forward to celebrating over 4 years of business with you at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar.
Come on into Black Bear Diner, where the portions are bear-sized and the service makes you feel at home. With breakfast served all day, anytime's right to dig into our one-of-a-kind sweet cream pancakes, Bear Benedicts, or generous sides of thick-cut bacon and tantalizing sausage patties, house-made from our signature recipe. Whenever you do breakfast, do it at Black Bear Diner, because around here, every plate comes with heaping helpings of happiness.
Black Bear feels like home.
North State High School Football, exclusively on KCNR AM 1460.
Well, it got one-sided, mainly because West Valley just clicked on all cylinders. The CV in the second half, it just didn't start out. In both halves, they were trailing. They gave up touchdowns on the second play. In the second half, Jacob Best scooped up a fumble, ran it back. Only turnover in this game, though. Let's keep that in mind. That's a positive, I think, if you're Central. Then a little bit later on, Ashton Wacker scored his fourth touchdown of the year on the ground in West Valley with that 48-0 lead. Central, with the running clock going, they decided to let it go. Aaron Richards shakes hands. I see it on Shasta County Sports Twitter feed, and I was watching it with every West Valley player as well. Remember, Richards was a coach there. But that was after he gave his kids at Central Valley a nice talking to, and they'll play again. And Central, I believe, with the right attitude, will turn this thing around. So that's your final score in this one. Let's see what we can find for you elsewhere. Red Bluff let's see, Corning up 14-13 at Red Bluff. That's at the end of the third quarter. All right. We did not have a score from Shasta. We were hoping to get one of those. Lassen leading Foothill 42-21. Chico's just taking it, man. They're taking it on the chin tonight. Sutter is just pounding them 34-0 late in the third. Gridley came back 16-7. May have mentioned that to you a few moments ago against Live Oak. That one's still going on. Lassen 35-21 with a minute to go over Foothill. So that would be a Lassen is throwing down the gauntlet themselves. They mean business this year. We saw them take on Enterprise, and they looked very, very good. Wairika trailing Henley 13-7. That's at halftime. Paradise was winning their game. We'll try to get you that latest score on that one in just a couple of minutes as we run through the scoreboard. All right, let's check and see if we can get you the latest from the Max Preps online scoreboard. Williams leading Willows. That one's 32-14 at half. We mentioned earlier Reading Christian beat Butte 54-6. Biggs won. We told you that. They topped Maxwell 42-14. We had Rancho at Pleasant Valley, PV on the board, but trailing 10-7 in the second half. Paradise 40-0 now at Durham. They're leading. No score on Shasta. Disappointed I can't find that score up here. Sutter, we mentioned 33-0 in the second half there, fourth quarter over Chico. Marysville beating Las Plumas 19-13. Wheatland over Winters 28-13. Anderson's in Oroville, no score. Esparto beating Forest Hill 34-22. Wairika was leading Henley, no finally at East Nicholas over Pierce in the fourth, 18-6. UPrep trying to come back, trailing Colusa 21-20. Lassen is going to be Foothill and Portola over Weed. If you want to pick up scores later or certainly later tonight or in the morning, you want to keep up with them, I recommend our friends over at Shasta County Sports. They will have the latest scores for you, and they also do a wonderful job of tweeting. If you're looking for scores on Twitter, just hashtag NorCalScores. That's what I do. And you're able to get whoever's reporting it and showing that NorCal score. Again, still looking for a Shasta. Let's see if I can find a Shasta score for you. That was the one that that was eluding us a little bit later on, a little bit earlier, excuse me. Let's see, the Loggers, is that, yeah, Loggers lead Shasta. Okay, so Eureka, Loggers lead 28-14. That is the score from Shasta. Also want to point out that Shasta College, of course, continuing their solid season, and they are, I believe, at home tomorrow. Let's check their schedule as well. Pulling up our Shasta College scoreboard. Before we head out tonight. Knights now, as we mentioned earlier this week, they're ranked 19th now in the poll. They beat West Hills last week, 30-14. So off to a nice start. And come on, Chester. Boy, you know, just when I promise you something at home, it seems like I cannot find my way to it. All right. So, well, not finding that. All right. What do we got tomorrow? Shasta College. I believe they're on the road. Here we go. Oh, where is Shasta College tomorrow? Looking for that. Well, guess I don't have that for you, folks. I'm not real proud of that. I'm checking out my scoreboard, and I'll try to find that for you before we're done. But that'll do it on those for you. Big night tonight. Offensively, it looks like it was a dominating effort, as we thought it might turn out to be by that West Valley offense. Coach Aaron Richards, of course, going up against his old school for the first time, but just didn't have the guns to take down the Eagles tonight. They were thumped pretty good in this one, 48-0. Your final score, 9 straight victories for West Valley. So let's take a look at what the schedule is like next week so we can tell you where these teams will be playing here in the northern section. And, you know, this is a league opener. That's what it's all about. So next week there is a Thursday night game, and that's going to be in 8-man football, Tule Lake at McLeod. But on the 27th, among the big games that we'll be looking at here in Shasta County, of course, Happy Camp is at Redding Christian, and 8-man play. We'll be broadcasting WSCA at UPrep. UPrep trying to come back and win that game. Other games to keep an eye on, Paradise still unbeaten. They'll be at Mount Shasta. Anderson will be at Las Plumas. Red Bluff will be at Pleasant Valley. Sutter at Enterprise next week. Oroville is at Central Valley next week, so they'll be home again. And, you know, they'll have their hands full against the Tigers. Colusa is at Pierce. Shasta is at Chico. It looks like Shasta, not sure, you know, how that other one's going to turn out. They're up in Eureka right now. So, no, finally, as we mentioned, Yreka is at Trinity. Corning is at Orland. So, off week for West Valley next week. I do believe, and I don't want to speak out of turn, but I understand Coach Grandel's daughter is getting married soon, and we wish the Grandel family the best of luck with that. The way the schedule works out, they will be off next week, but Central Valley will be back here at home. Will this be the last Valley Bowl? I don't know about that, but if it's the last Valley Bowl, I would be surprised. That's because Central's going to turn this thing around under their new head coach, Aaron Richards. The student body stayed tonight. I thought that was very impressive, and the band stayed, and the fans were good, and the kids kept their chins up, but they ran into a championship program here at Ron Hill Stadium. The final score was, well, dare I say something as mean as not as close as the score would indicate, 48-0. West Valley's defense was even more impressive than West Valley's offense, and that right there is saying something. We'd like to thank Kia for sponsoring tonight's broadcast, and I'd like to thank my producer, Jared the Kingslayer King, for doing a wonderful job back at our KCNR studios, the Bott family as well, for supporting high school football in the North State. You can check out Shasta County Sports on the web, and you'll get some scores as those finals come rolling in next week. Be sure and join us on Wednesday night. We'll try to preview the game with head coaches from the games in next week's Game of the Week. And of course, that game will be coming your way from UPrep, and then I'll hopefully have another special interview guest for you every Wednesday night on Scorecard Scribblings from 6 to 7 o'clock. Our broadcast will come your way from Reading next week. But for now, the final score from Shasta Lake. It's the West Valley Eagles, 28, opening the NAL with a resounding victory, 48-0 over the young Central Valley Falcons. I'm Brent Weber. We'll see you next Friday night from the Gridiron.
New York City, as a general rule. And in just a few minutes, we're going to have on Andy McCarthy from National Review to discuss this whole whistleblower scenario. We also have to get into the left's hard push, I mean hard push, for climate change something. And when I say something, I mean something. Like, they don't know what it is that they want. They have decided, instead, that they are just going to shout at the moon. But in breaking news, Nancy Pelosi has now called for new laws so sitting presidents can be indicted. Which is weird, because she didn't seem to want that when Barack Obama was president. Very, very odd. In an exclusive interview with NPR, Pelosi says she's not changed her mind on pursuing impeachment, but she thinks the president should be able to be indicted. Which, of course, means that the impeachment provisions of the Constitution are utterly superfluous. The reason that you didn't want the sitting president indicted is because then the DOJ is an independent wing of the government. And if the president were to fire somebody in the DOJ who is under his purview, then that would be obstruction of justice just by its very nature. She said, I do think we'll have to pass some laws that will have clarity for future presidents. A president should be indicted if he's committed a wrongdoing, any president. There's nothing any place that says the president should not be indicted. That is a weird take. If that were true, then Bill Clinton would have been indicted for perjury. Nancy Pelosi, like, Democrats should be very careful what they wish for here. Every time they try to make a rule on the basis of Republicans suck, it ends up being used against Democrats. Whether it's Harry Reid getting rid of the filibuster for judicial nominees, or now Nancy Pelosi suggesting that sitting presidents should be prosecuted. Okay, coming up, we'll be joined by Andy McCarthy. He will break down whether President Trump has engaged in illegal activity, whether the intelligence community's whistleblower report ought to be provided to Congress, and whether a quid pro quo would be an impeachable offense for President Trump. And you'll be stopping by shortly. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt?
I owe the IRS $37,000.
Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs that may protect you from IRS collection agencies. They have the power to garnish your wages, put liens on your property, and levy your bank account. Civic Tax Relief can help protect you from the IRS.
Civic Tax Relief basically represented me against the IRS, and by the time everything was completed, I didn't owe the IRS anything.
Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs available for free.
I would recommend anyone who has a tax problem to contact Civic Tax Relief.
Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. Don't wait. Call now. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
On Westwood One Podcast Network.
After the first time he went to rehab, I'm sad it took that, but I really shifted in realizing this kid is not okay.
My brother, Harris Whittles, died of a heroin overdose in 2015. This is Last Day, a new podcast about the things that are killing us. First up, the opioid crisis. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you can't seem to stay ahead of your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt, medical bills, and department store debt forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. This program has been used by thousands to legally forgive millions in unsecured debt. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven from what you owe your creditors. Call for free information and get all your questions answered in the first free call. The more you owe, the more you can save. If you have at least $10,000 or more in credit card bills, this debt forgiveness program can be very effective. Call for free information and find out more now. 800-291-6670. There is no cost or obligation for the information. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Get your debt problem solved. Call 800-291-6670 today. Not available in North Dakota.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with The Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened
and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The Senior Living Advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-467-7530.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-467-7530. That's 1-800-467-7530.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, obviously, the controversy of the day is whether the president has done something wrong in his head of his director of national intelligence not allowing this inspector general watchdog report to go to the to go to Congress. Whether the president has engaged in some sort of illegal activity, if he asked the Ukrainian government to investigate Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. Joining us on the line to discuss is Andy McCarthy. He's a senior fellow at National Review Institute and National Review contributing editor. His latest book is called Ball of Collusion, The Plot to Rig an Election and Destroy a Presidency. Andy, thanks so much for joining the show.
Ben, it's my pleasure.
So why don't we begin at the beginning? This all began with a member of the intelligence community submitting a whistleblower complaint to the inspector general. The inspector general then labeled it urgent. Supposedly, statutorily, this would dictate that it go to Congress, but the head of the DNI stepped in and said, well, this actually isn't urgent, according to DOJ protocol, so we're not turning it over. Who's right and who's wrong in that dispute, given the information we currently have?
Well, I think, Ben, on the narrow statutory question, the director of national intelligence is probably right. I find in these situations that we're so hyper-obsessed, if that's the right term, on the law that we miss the more important stuff. So to me, the question whether the statute here is triggered and the timelines in the statute are triggered is very secondary to the more important issue, which is, you know, while the president has the power to conduct foreign policy, the Congress has the power to subject it to thorough examination, regardless of whether a statute got transgressed or not. I don't think the statute applies because the statute does not mention the president. The statute is clearly directed to intelligence community officials who operate under the authority of the director of national intelligence. That's not, the president is not included in that. And the Justice Department has long followed a interpretation or a method of interpreting statutes, which says that if a statute doesn't directly mention or expressly mention the president, and if its application to the president would operate to restrict the president in his constitutional function some way, then the statute doesn't apply to the president. And here it seems to me if you apply the statute to the president, you would be giving the bureaucracy basically a second guess or a check on the president's ability to conduct foreign policy, which I don't think Congress can do by a statute. So I don't think the statute applies, but that doesn't mean that Congress shouldn't look into this. This looks like something that's very worthy of being looked into.
Okay, so how would Congress look into this? What sort of tools are available for Congress to investigate in these sorts of situations? Because there seems to be this perspective inside the Democratic Congress that the executive branch, whether it's the Mueller report or whether it's this, the executive branch is supposed to do the actual investigation of the executive branch. What right. tools are available for the legislative branch here?
Yeah, that's a great point, Ben. The first of all, they can conduct public hearings, which they do quite often, and which can be a very effective tool in embarrassing the executive branch into compliance. Usually, even when there's a lot of brave rhetoric going on for our consumption, when Congress schedules a hearing for one of these guys, what we later learn is that there's frantic negotiations going on behind the scenes to try to reach an accommodation to avoid the hearing. So I think that's an important tool. The Constitution provides a lot of other tools. I mean, the DEFCON 1 tool is obviously impeaching the president if he won't comply with legitimate congressional demands for information. But short of that, and we should be short of that about, you know, 99.999% of the time, they can do things like cut the president's budget, withhold the approval of congressional appointments, and make all kinds of mischief that makes it very difficult for the president to govern. So Congress has a lot of constitutionally endowed tools that allow it to compete with the president in this regard.
So now let's talk about let's do a bit of speculation based on the information available. So the Wall Street Journal reporting today that President Trump asked the Ukrainian government to investigate Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. Now, I've been saying all day that it's ugly. It's not something you want the president to do, but it is not really illegal. The president seeking information from sources outside the government or anybody else seeking information from sources outside the government is not illegal, as long as there's no quid pro quo, no sort of bribery, as long as Trump wasn't withholding military aid, for example, to Ukraine in exchange for them not doing this to Joe Biden, and that he was only releasing the military aid in order to get them to investigate Joe Biden, that ugly is not illegal. What do you make of the information that we currently have that apparently the president was asking the Ukrainian government over and over and over to investigate the Hunter Biden, Joe Biden scenario?
Well, I think, first of all, if Trump did something along the lines of using the powers of his office to either hurt his political rivals or help his chances for reelection, he would be about the 45th president to do that. I'm not too terribly troubled by that part of it. I think, Ben, that we've become inclined, especially in the age of Trump, it seems, to figure that ordinary politics, and really we're in a system where the two political branches are designed to compete with each other. I think when politics happens, that doesn't necessarily mean a law has been violated or an impeachable offense has occurred. And I often think, and this goes back to writing an impeachment book in 2014. I wasn't smart enough to wait till Trump was president. but, you know, a lot of things that are in the nature of abuse of power are not violations of the penal law or even other statutory law. Because we should strive for a situation where, you know, our best quality for our office holders shouldn't be that they can stay one step ahead of indictment. You know, we should be demanding more than that. So I think, you know, regardless of whether a law has been violated, this is going to be evaluated, I think, in political terms. And I think you laid it out very well. If it turns out that what the president did here was just a naked use of power to promote his reelection, so that he was saying, investigate Joe Biden or I won't do things that are good for the United States that Ukraine needs done, then I think he'll suffer for that politically, and he should. On the other hand, I don't think Biden gets immunity from investigation because he happens to be running against Trump. I think, you know, if he's done things that warrant investigation, he should be investigated. And I also think that if Trump has normal presidential dealings with Ukraine, which involve a lot of give and take, he shouldn't be prevented from doing something that's good for the country just because it might hurt Biden. So I think that for once, instead of like leaping to the conclusion that we have either law violations or impeachable offenses, we ought to find out what happened. You know, we ought to find out like exactly what he did. And I would say the high likelihood is that we're not dealing with impeachable offenses here. We're dealing with probably hardball politics, and how much Trump will be hurt by it will be measured politically, and how much the measure is will depend on what we find out.
I mean, my inclination is that actually the person who may end up hurt out of all this is Joe Biden, because Trump will be president up for the election no matter what. If Joe Biden's name and corruption in Ukraine are at the top of the news for the next 2 months, the person who is most likely to benefit is Elizabeth Warren, I would think.
Yeah, I would think so. I just find it very interesting today, and this goes, I think, to where the media's prejudices lie, which is why there's a lot of sympathy for Trump, even among people who are not crazy about a lot of his routine. There's been very energetic press reporting today that has, you know, between, you know, from 9 o'clock this morning till now, we've gotten very far in finding out exactly, you know, who Trump spoke to in Ukraine and what they talked about. And there's a lot of reporting about that. On the other hand, this story about Biden putting pressure on Ukraine to drop an investigation of his son, who was being lavishly compensated reportedly by the company that was under investigation. That story's been out there for, you know, probably 2 years now, and it hasn't gotten very far. It hasn't gotten very much attention. So I just marvel at how much the media can find out when they're disposed to.
We're speaking to Eddie McCarthy of National Review. His new book is Ball of Collusion. Andy, final question for you. Nancy Pelosi made some sounds today on National Public Radio about the possibility of changing the law so that the president can be prosecuted. What do you make of that move? It seems bizarre to me that you would be able to, I mean, it seems like a constitutional problem. Forget about, you know, what the legislature has to say. If the president could be prosecuted for crimes by his own executive branch, it leads to an immediate crisis in terms of if he ever fires any prosecutor whatsoever, then you have a sort of lack of control by the executive branch over the executive branch. There's no way to get rid of the executive branch officers who are investigating the president. It gives them all sorts of power over the president himself. It also seems like the Democrats, again, short-sightedly shooting themselves in the foot, because at some point there will be a Democratic president again, and it's quite possible that person gets prosecuted. What do you make of Pelosi's call to change the law?
Yeah, I think, Ben, that, you know, the system as it exists now permits Congress to take over these investigations. They don't have to wait for the executive branch to do them. The president can be prosecuted now. The only issue is he can't be prosecuted while he is a sitting president. But the Constitution explicitly states that, you know, impeachment is just a remedy that involves the removal of political power, and the president is then subject to all kinds of, you know, criminal and civil legal consequences. So I don't think there's anything wrong with the current system in theory. I think what's wrong is that Congress has decided to delegate the investigation of the executive branch to the executive branch. And now it's unhappy with the way that it turns out. And maybe what it ought to go back to doing is like being Congress. And that might solve a lot of problems.
That seems like that would be a nice thing. Andy McCarthy, thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate your analysis. That's Andy McCarthy of National Review. Go check out his book, Ball of Collusion, The Plot to Rig an Election and Destroy a Presidency. Andy, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Ben.
Well, coming up, youth. The youth shall save us from the boiling of the world. And Al Gore has some words. Al Gore, he's back to make billions off of global warming while flying a private plane. We'll get to that in 1 second. First, some topics in life are rather uncomfortable to talk about. Sex is one of those things, but sex is also one of the most important things in life, especially within the context of marriage. Studies show 70% of dudes who experience erectile dysfunction don't get treated for it for just that reason. It can be awkward to discuss, but sometimes things just don't work the way they're supposed to. That's not something to be ashamed about, just like a lot of health issues are nothing to be ashamed about. And that's where our friends at Roman come in. Thankfully, Roman has created an easy way to get checked out by a doctor and get treated for ED online. With Roman, you can get medical care for ED, if appropriate, from the comfort and privacy of your own home. You can handle everything online in a convenient, discreet manner. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/Shapiro, complete an online visit. If your doctor decides the treatment would be appropriate, they can prescribe genuine medication that can be delivered in discreet packaging directly to your door with free 2-day shipping. Dudes, go talk to the doctor. ED can be tough to tackle. It's really important to get it checked out. With Roman, it's easy to connect with a doctor. Just go to GetRoman.com/Shapiro to get a free online visit and free 2-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/Shapiro for a free visit to get started. GetRoman.com Shapiro. Okay, so all over the world today, millions of students walked out of class. They walked out into the sunshine and yelled at the sun simultaneously, and the world has been healed. It was all very, very important stuff, like super important stuff. What sort of important things did they say? Well, they talked about how they were mad. And also they talked about how they were mad. And also how they were super duper mad at their parents. So, for example, here was one young climate activist suggesting that the status quo is a death sentence. If we don't stop, everyone will die.
We need change that will shake the very foundations of our society. This change will be uncomfortable, maybe even scary. But this is the kind of change that's our only option. And this is why we are here today. We will keep coming back until we are not ignored any longer. We refuse to continue with business as usual because we know that is a death sentence. We refuse to allow lives to be stolen and futures ruined. We are striking for our lives and we will not be stopped.
Okay, this is so tiresome and ridiculous. And, I mean, she's so excited to be up there. Listen, she's a young girl. Of course she's excited. There are lots of cameras and there's a microphone and everything. And she thinks that what she's saying is something of importance. Fine, but that doesn't mean everybody has to take this seriously, because I'm sorry, this is not a serious point. We're all going to die. We are striking for our lives. Are you? Are you really going to die if it warms like 2 degrees Celsius over the course of the next century? Are we all going to die? Are we? Are you, an American, the most prosperous place on planet Earth, going to die because of that? We'll get to more of this sort of silliness in just 1 second. First, we need to take a moment to remind you there's a whole other world to this radio show over at DailyWire.com. You ever miss an opportunity to listen to The Ben Shapiro Show? Stop it. Don't let it happen again. Head on over to DailyWire.com. You can watch all 3 hours of this radio show when you become a subscriber. Your life will be vastly enriched by the ability to see every detail on the show, from relevant news clips and photos to this astonishingly handsome face. Not only do you get my show, you also get to hear from prominent conservatives like Andrew Klavan and Matt Walsh. And if you want to, I guess you can hear from Michael Moles. The entire Daily Wire team has its finger on the pulse of the conservative movement. We'll keep you educated and informed on the most newsworthy stories of the day. So don't wait any longer. Head on over to DailyWire.com. Become a subscriber for just $9.99 a month or $99 a year. Be sure to also check out the new Daily Wire store over at Amazon.com. Stock up on our Daily Wire hoodies, t-shirts, sweaters, and more. That's DailyWire.com. Become a subscriber. Join tens of thousands of fans in supporting the largest conservative podcast in America. Well, when we return, Al Gore has some words. The planet has a fever. And Al Gore, as a prescription, is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
On Westwood One Podcast Network.
After the first time he went to rehab, I'm sad it took that, but I really shifted in realizing this kid is not okay.
My brother, Harris Whittles, died of a heroin overdose in 2015. This is Last Day, a new podcast about the things that are killing us. First up, the opioid crisis. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. You know, I'm thinking a little bit more about the Nancy Pelosi, let's prosecute the president kind of thing. Honestly, I got to say, I'm not sure it's such a terrible idea. Not prosecuting President Trump, like you actually have to have a crime available, but the fact is that the legislature has basically become a branch of the government that doesn't do anything. It's a legislature that refuses to impeach, refuses to take responsibility. The president is basically enshrined. Impeachment has become a vestigial organ of the government. But we're all going to have to live with the consequences of this. So if we would like to have a less robust executive, then prepare for the consequences, because that's what the consequences are going to be. Okay, meanwhile, the case on global warming was being made today by a group of young climate activists, and they're young, which means that they're right. That's according to the media. A bunch of them making passionate cases while standing in the sunshine, wearing branded clothing, talking on C-SPAN in a first world country about how they are in danger of death because of carbon emissions. Here is one such young human.
This is a fight for our lives, for our security, for all future generations to come. They want us to just sit quiet? No! They want us to just sit in school and learn about a future that may not exist? No! We are here because our generation's past have put us in an unstable place. And you know what? I'm sick of hearing about their actions. I'm sick of their apologies. I'm sick of their shame. And I'm sick of the future that they put on us.
Okay, was there a proposal anywhere in there? Or was it just, I'm sick of this, and I want my parents to pick me up and drive me to the mall? And again, she's a teenager. She's on TV. That's exciting. I'm not going to blame her for her enthusiasm. I'm going to blame us, because we're taking this crap seriously. Because, like, seriously, why would you take a small human screaming about what they want from you seriously? They have no proposal. They have no understanding of what they're even calling for. And that was the idea here is, if you get a bunch of young kids to shout, and then anybody criticizes the young kids, then that's because they don't care about the world and they're part of the problem, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, you don't have to fall for that. You don't have to fall for this emotional manipulation where it's like, oh, a young person said it, therefore you are opposing enthusiasm and youth and all that is good and innocent. And here's another such young human speaking youthful enthusiasm into a microphone.
We are here because our parents trashed the planet, and it's up to our generation to save it. Storms, floods, fires, and droughts fueled by climate change are killing people all over the globe. Our oceans are choking with trash, and the sixth mass extinction is well underway. And the government does nothing. Our schools don't teach us, and our parents are silent. But scientists say we only have 11 years left to avoid a climate catastrophe. We need to have zero carbon emissions by 2030.
When they say zero carbon emissions by 2030, they do understand that that is dooming probably tens of millions of people to death. I mean, when you say there will be zero carbon emissions, like, across Earth, you're saying that billions of people should continue to live in poverty. And that really, like, all of this is so tiresome. Jamie Margolin is the founder of Zero Hour and 17 years old and has a piece in the New York Times today called "I'm Not Only Striking for the Climate." And here is where we get to the actual agenda. I'm 17 years old, and I've been a climate justice organizer since I was a freshman in high school. I started as a community organizer with Plant for the Planet in Seattle, giving climate action presentations to middle and high schools, testifying at bill hearings. Zero Hour organizes mobilizations, events, and campaigns to bring youth voices to world leaders, all while being a bunch of scrappy kids just trying to survive high school. This is a good premise for a Broadway musical. It is not a good premise for policymaking. In July 2018, we organized the Youth Climate March in Washington. On the day of the protest, it was pouring rain. I held a blue banner that said, Youth for Climate Action Now. Several hundred people turned out, all of us soaked. My mascara was running. One sign, we are in a mass extinction, became illegible. The paint running down the canvas. It was a mess, but a good mess, a powerful mess. Well, mostly it's just a mess, because I am not seeing any solutions. I am just seeing people screaming at the wind and the media celebrating it, because then they get to point to the youthful enthusiasm without actually discussing the ramifications of the difficulties of making policy. You know, it's actually tough making policy. It's actually kind of hard. And the entire climate change radical wing seems to want to ignore that basic fact in favor of youthful exuberance. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. A whistleblower complaint against President Trump has reportedly involved a call that he made to the president of Ukraine about Hunter Biden, who was a board member on the Ukraine's National Oil and Gas Company until this past spring. The company Burisma had been under investigation for its own corruption.
The Associated Press has learned a whistleblower complaint against President Trump involved a call he made to the president of Ukraine in an effort to damage a political rival. President Trump, in a July 25th phone call, reportedly urged the new leader of Ukraine to investigate the son of former Vice President Joe Biden. That's according to two sources familiar with the matter. Hunter Biden was working for a Ukrainian gas company, and Trump urged Volodymyr Zelensky to investigate the younger Biden's activities, along with other incidents.
Correspondent Jackie Quinn, in a 2018 speech to the Council on Foreign Relations, Mr. Biden acknowledged that he threatened to withhold $1 billion in foreign aid to Ukraine if a special prosecutor was not removed from office in 2016. The prosecutor was investigating the company Burisma, which Hunter Biden joined as a board member in April of 2014. The Pentagon says that the U.S. will deploy additional troops and military equipment to Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates to beef up security, as President Donald Trump, at least for now, decided against any immediate military strike on Iran in response to the attack on the Saudi oil industry. Defense Secretary Mark Esper.
First, to send a clear message that the United States supports our partners in the region. Second, to ensure the free flow of resources necessary to support the global economy. And third, to demonstrate our commitment to upholding the international rules-based order that we have long called on Iran to obey.
Secretary Esper says this is a first step and he is not ruling out additional moves down the road. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Are you a stock or options trader looking for real trading strategies that you can use immediately? Hi, my name is Scott Bauer, CEO of Prosper Trading Academy, and I'm on a mission to become the number one options coach in America. I'm a former vice president at Goldman Sachs. I have over 25 years of options trading experience, and right now, I'm giving away my most famous options guide with over 20 unique options strategies that I use every day for free. You can't buy this guide anywhere. To claim your free options trading guide, simply call 855-892-2307 now and mention my name, Scott Bauer, and we will rush you the guide. Call 855-892-2307 and someone from my options team will help you get this guide in your inbox as quickly as possible. Call 855-892-2307 now and start learning to trade the right way. Call 855-892-2307. Prosper with options.
Stocks and options trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
A Senate committee will send $250 million to the states to improve election systems.
The Appropriations Committee bipartisan funding is aimed at helping states provide stronger voter security in the coming elections. It's backed by Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, but he is still stalling a House-passed broader election security bill, saying the Trump administration has made enormous strides in protecting the nation's voting infrastructure. Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer calls it a start, and while the Republicans seem to be coming around, the funding isn't all the money and reforms that the Democrats want. Tim McGuire,
Washington.
23 states sued to stop the Trump administration from revoking California's authority to set emission standards for cars and trucks. The lawsuit comes a day after the Trump administration revoked California's authority to set its own emission standards. They say the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration does not have the authority. News and analysis at townhall.com. Austrian Jewish groups have welcomed the decision in the country's parliament to allow citizenship for descendants of victims of the Nazis.
MPs voted by a large majority in favor of the new legislation, which allows direct descendants of those who fled Austria or survived concentration camps to apply for Austrian nationality. Austria, which doesn't usually allow dual citizenship, will grant the passports without insisting on the need to reside in Austria or give up a previous nationality. The head of Vienna's Jewish community, Oskar Deutsch, welcomed the decision, which he said was one of historic dimensions. The law will come into force in September 2020.
That's the BBC's Bethany Bell. Walmart says it will stop selling electronic cigarettes at its namesake stores and Sam's Clubs following a string of illnesses and deaths related to vaping. The nation's largest retailer says it will complete its exit from e-cigarettes after selling current inventory. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Like, I guess I'm listening to you guys in, like, through a cue speaker or something. That's what happens when a fill-in host comes in. How you doing? It is the Chris Plant Show, as regularly scheduled. I am not, however, your regularly scheduled host. My name is Chris Stegall, filling in for Mr. Plant today, and it is a thrill and honor and a privilege, as it always is. Yeah, guys, I've got, like, a permanent cue speaker locked in, and I'm hearing all the talk back there, back in the house. So, whatever that is or wherever it's coming from, I don't know why. That's crazy. The telephone number is 888-630-9625. It's like I'm permanently locked in some kind of talkback with you guys in the studio. So I hear literally, this is really neat. It's like I've got a permanent IFB listening to this. I wish you guys could hear what I hear. Because if you could, you would hear everything going on that you're doing right now. It's as though I'm listening. I'm hearing secret things I shouldn't hear during this broadcast inside your studio. Yeah. So that'll be interesting. We'll get through this first segment nonetheless, though. 888-630-9625 is the telephone number. And I would love to hear from you today on this, I guess, Climate Friday, as this teenage – I guess the Democrats have decided that trying to convince you that we're warming the planet, they're best served in doing that by hiring kids to make the sale. They have brought kids in from 150 countries for something they're calling a massive climate strike today. Young people from around the world leading a massive coordinated strike from school on this day, Friday, September 20th, to protest government and business inaction on climate change. It's likely to be one of the largest environmental protests in history, they say. I don't know if you've been following what's going on over there at MSNBC, but it is, this is, I don't know. Just when I think they can't outdo themselves, ladies and gentlemen, they have outdone themselves. They've absolutely outdone themselves in their climate coverage. Andrew Yang, I guess we'll start with him. There's also breaking news this morning, folks, and I will get to it because I know you're all on the edge of your seats. What's the status of Bill de Blasio? I will bring you the update on Bill de Blasio's presidential campaign. Apparently it is now, the president just tweeting this morning, has ruled it dead. It's official. He appeared on Scarborough and gave his eulogy of his presidential campaign. So that's on the way. Don't worry. We've got you all covered today. But I thought we'd start with last night's climate coverage there. Andrew Yang talking about making cattle, raising cattle to such a degree. Oh, we don't have that cut. Boy, we're off to the races. What do we have from Yang? Give me anything from Andrew Yang, Crazy Yang last night. Anything? Oh, perfect. Cars. Let's do that.
Do I think that we're going to be burning fossil fuels at gas stations in the same way we do now in 2050? I really hope we do not. I hope that that's a charging station. I hope that you only have to use it every so often and that we're in clean cars. We might not even own our cars at that point.
Yeah, we're not. Yeah, well, the Yang. Between not owning cars and making cows raising cattle, making it so expensive and cost prohibitive, they're going to have to pass on the cost to you. Eating meat will become. These people are bound and determined to change your dietary habits. That's the point. They are going to go out of their way to change your dietary habits one way or another. So, Andrew Yang. Andrew Yang has promised to try to do away with cars and you eating beef. One way or another, they're going to make it happen. But this climate strike today, the global climate strike, if you can't be in the strike, then of course you don't have to, says the 16-year-old Swedish climate activist Greta Thunberg. She's the original school striker who last year began demanding more action from the government on climate change. She's become an increasingly influential figurehead and voice for youth climate angst and activism. Whatever the hell that is. Youth climate angst. I got to tell you, when you listen to young people, and we'll see if we can't find this clip from yesterday. I had this on my podcast. By the way, if you are so inclined and you want to go check it out at chrisstegall.com, I do a daily podcast where I feature the audio of a woman named, Jamie? She was a young woman, like 17 years old, Jamie something or other from Seattle. And I try to be diplomatic here and not pick on young people. But, you know, she's 17, and I think they got her from Drama Club. The Democrats brought her up to testify on global warming, and she's beside herself. She's driven to distraction because she's so emotional about the state of the climate. She's got college applications to fill out, and it's so stressful, but she's so much more worried about dying and there not even being a planet that it's hardly worth the effort of filling out college applications if we're all cooked to death. Because of our inactivity, our inaction on climate change, and she's so panicked and so full of angst about the climate and her college applications, and she can't fill those out because she's worried about what we're not doing. And I just, like, I watch these kids being used as propagandists on this issue of climate, and I think to myself, are the parents of these children proud? I assume they must be. I mean, look, I have two teenagers, younger teenagers, 14 and 13, and I love them. They've got a lot to learn, as anybody who's raised a teenager or has one understands. There's a lot to learn, and sometimes they're strong-willed and they have their own opinions. And I guess if my teenagers came to some kind of political opinion on their own, and after talking with them and I felt at least they had some sort of well-reasoned, thought-out position on something, and they wanted to be public about it, I don't guess I'd stop them. But given what I know about most teenagers, on balance, when they arrive at something political, it's because they've been fed it. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's just true for most kids. Now, you may be listening and saying to yourself, not mine, my kids are great, they've been raised well, and I've taught them from the beginning. And that's great. not picking on you if you've, you know, raised your kids to be of a particular political mindset. But to me, when you hear a kid that is spewing leftist propaganda like climate change, man-made climate change, it almost always comes from that Al Gore propaganda emotional place. Because they've been watching films since elementary school about we're killing polar bears and we only have 12 years to live. It's rooted in nothing but emotion. And that's what I find so depressing, frankly, is the fact that these kids seem to have, teenagers, 16, 17 years of old age, they seem to be sincerely driven to ruin, just absolute despair that they can't control the climate and they think that people on Capitol Hill somehow can. Which, even if you accept that is true, what a silly proposition that the United States government somehow has the ability to control the Earth's climate as well as the weather events that happen on the globe like it's a thermostat on the wall. If only this legislative body of 435 representatives and 100 senators could get together and a president could sign into law something that could alter the patterns of weather. It's, I guess, our young many young people in this country believe it. I guess, unless they're just completely being used and it's all a big put-on and a fraud. I hope it's the latter, only because if it's not, to watch young people truly in that kind of turmoil and fear is maybe one of the most depressing things I've ever seen. Because clearly they're not being taught at home that there's something bigger than themselves, that there's something bigger than the United States, there's something maybe more grand at work. Whatever you may want to call that, not to put on a sermonette for you here, but I'm just saying if you don't have some kind of basis in something bigger than self, yes, I would imagine that's a terribly miserable existence. So it's just depressing to see at the age of 17 that woman testifying yesterday on Capitol Hill, that's all she's got going on. So today, just to let you know, that is the that's the big doings. I don't know if kids across – is that – I haven't checked my local school. My kids did not mention a climate strike. I don't know if that's happening where yours is. The New York strike is expected to attract thousands of people, mostly kids. Parallel strikes happening in the nation's capital, Boston, Seattle, Minneapolis, Miami, Los Angeles, and Denver. This is truly a global strike. It will be the movement's largest yet. I wonder how much fossil fuel will be used to get to these strike events. I assume there'll be lots of driving and parking to get there. 2,500 events scheduled in 150 countries. Are you participating in today's climate strike? Would love to know. Give me a ring. 888-630-9625 is the number. 888-630-9625. Shall we get to... Okay, let's... Why not? Let's get to the Bill de Blasio funeral. It's official as of this morning. President Trump tweeting it out, as only President Trump can. It's just the most wonderful thing. He's really enjoying it. And as I recall, the president cut a video. We might have to go back and find this. I remember when de Blasio announced he was getting in the race for president, he cut a video from Air Force One wishing him all the best. Said, I don't think he's going to do very well, but wishing him all the best. Maybe we can find that later, but... Trump tweeted this morning, oh no, really big political news, perhaps the biggest story in years, part-time mayor of New York City, Bill de Blasio, polling at a solid zero, but had tremendous room for growth, has shockingly dropped out of presidential race. New York City is devastated. He's coming home. I think, I don't know, maybe, yes. It's a sad day for America. Frankly, a sad day for New York. Bill de Blasio, mayor, coming home. Billy Crystal, of all people, may well have predicted this last night, folks. I don't know if we want to call this the Billy Crystal movement, but he's on with Colbert, and this is actually not... I mean, Crystal, I think, is a liberal. I'm pretty sure he is, based on the limited things I know about the guy politically. I don't think he gets terribly active politically, but... it's quite an indictment, actually, of Scarborough, what Billy Crystal's saying. He's in New York, he's visiting the Colbert set, and he's just kind of talking about being out on the streets of New York and different things he sees and things that kind of annoy him or bother him. He starts talking about how dirty and the trash all over New York. And that's when he calls Bill de Blasio home. Who knew how prescient he would be? Take a listen to this.
Too much garbage. De Blasio, what are you doing in Iowa? You're going nowhere. Come back and clean up this city.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So he did. They brought him home. Bill de Blasio, I guess he was watching Colbert last night and said, okay, Billy, I'll come home. That's pretty bad. And this is what, you know, I might get into this a little later today. The Trump administration announced this week they're going to cite San Francisco for pollution stemming from homelessness. This is a real story. You want to talk about environmentalism? Let's look at America's major cities and see that, you know, the tent cities and the needles in the streets. I mean, it's happening in my home base of Philadelphia. I know, you know, the stories coming out of major cities in California. You know, there's Billy Crystal and Colbert, committed leftists, talking about the trash of the streets of New York. Bill de Blasio, what the hell are you doing in Iowa? Come home, clean up this city. Well, over at MSNBC, we'll have that coming up. Over at MSNBC, they're stunned, apparently. They just, I don't know what they thought Bill de Blasio was going to accomplish, or maybe he was going to turn a corner, but they're not taking it well over at Morning Joe. So when we return here on the Chris Plant Show, we will have for you the... I guess, I haven't even heard this yet, folks, so we're going to listen together, but I'm told they are genuinely crestfallen at MSNBC that the mayor of New York has gotten out of the Democrat race for President of the United States. 888-630-9625, the number. My name is Chris Stigall. Thrilled to be with you today. I'm in for Chris Plant on The Chris Plant Show.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
There's a guy. His name is Jordan. He's a healthy guy, father of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. But then he went to the doctor, and he was diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. He'd just switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. The question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this really going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And for them, it was about more than just the money. It's a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's very much worth looking into. There's a great reason that it's growing so fast. And if you want to find out more, here's the number for you. 855-40-BIBLE. That's 855-40-BIBLE. 855-40-BIBLE.
Attention military service members. If you or a loved one used dual-sided combat arms earplugs during active duty between 2003 and 2015 and then suffered tinnitus, ringing in ears, or hearing loss, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Contact Thomas J. Henry today for a free and confidential consultation. Dial #250 and say, ready to win. That's #250, ready to win. Call Thomas J. Henry now and get the money you deserve. Principal office in San Antonio, Texas. You'll have the option to receive a one-time auto-dial text message.
I've been around a long time, seeing a lot of gadgets show up that are supposed to make my job easier. Digital screwdrivers, hammer 2.0, the new improved nail, now with more pointiness. You know what really makes my job easier? Grainger. Easy reordering, easy inventory solutions, and easy to do business with every time. Gadgets come and go. You want reliability. You want Grainger. Call, clickgrainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
It's never too early to plan an exciting vacation, especially when you can save some extra money. Hey, it's Chris Plant, and I'm announcing our 2020 Chris Plant Listener Sea Cruise. 7 days cruising breathtaking Alaska, beginning August 5th on Regent Seven Seas luxurious all-suite Mariner. Take advantage of special early bird discounts on many categories of suites until September 30th. Enjoy Alaska with like-minded travelers and experience spectacular scenery, lots of wildlife, and fascinating frontier towns. Plus, on Regent, everything is included. That means round-trip airfare, free unlimited shore excursions, free unlimited beverages, including fine wines and spirits, free Wi-Fi, free in-suite minibar, and a $500 per suite shipboard credit. Join me for an unforgettable experience. Call the Travel Store at 800-777-6540, 800-777-6540, or book at chrisplantcruise.com.
Are your tax problems keeping you up at night? Hi, Tax Owl here from the Coast One Tax Group. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, take 10 minutes and call Coast One Tax Group. It could save you 93% or more. Coast One Tax Group helps people all across America save big amounts of money. David from California saved $48,000 on back taxes. James and Lisa from Dallas saved $102,000. Call Coast One Tax Group now at 888-337-6949. A 10-minute call could save 93% or more. So who are you going to call? Coast One Tax Group, that's who. See how much you can save. The consultation is always free. What are you who waiting for? Relieve your tax stress today. Call Coast One Tax Group at 888-337-6949. That's 888-337-6949.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com. If you have hard water, the Limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate Limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com.
All right, welcome back to the Chris Plant Show. Chris Stigall filling in for Mr. Plant today. You can find me online, chrisstigall.com. I hope you'll check it out. I do a daily podcast there. We have a lot of fun. Put that up every day for your listening enjoyment whenever you get a chance. So it's spelled C-H-R-I-S-S-T-I-G-A-L-L. I'm also on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I even went over there on that new thing called Parler, which the president says he's considering going over to if Twitter doesn't shape up. So it's all one word, Chris Stigall, C-H-R-I-S-S-T-I-G-A-L-L. Thanks for hanging out with me today. Chris back on Monday. So, yeah, they took the news hard over there at MSNBC this morning. Mayor of New York City, Bill de Blasio, officially announcing on this Friday. I guess he was hoping it would get lost in the Friday news dump. But I guess, I don't know, how do you lose a campaign that's already been lost? He goes on Scarborough today to announce big news. You'd think the way they covered this, the way Joe Scarborough and this crew at MSNBC talk about this, you'd think this were a major, I mean, you'd think this were Bernie or something. Was de Blasio even polling was he measuring? I know he didn't make the last debate stage, but, I mean, I don't know what they're clinging to here, but listen to them somberly announce to the nation, such that their audience is probably more like five people in Manhattan, Bill de Blasio is no longer a candidate for president.
You actually have a very important announcement to make.
Yeah, and Joe, let me just say up front, these last months, I've had an extraordinary experience going all over this country. And I want to tell you, I actually think it's a lot better country than what we often see portrayed. There's a lot more unity out there. There's a lot more hope. Folks don't like this moment of division and anger. They want to get by it.
Thank you, Bill. Mayor de Blasio has figured out that, you know, once I leave the vitriolic tiny little bubble that I call my universe in New York City, and I go out and I talk to people who are normal, healthy, functioning American citizens who actually make things work, I talk to them and I find out they're not nearly the hateful crazies that I always called them. As though he actually means that, by the way. All right, yeah, a little more. They are pleading with him. Have you thought this through thoroughly, Mr. Mayor?
But I have to tell you at the same time, I feel like I've contributed all I can to this primary election. And it's clearly not my time, so I'm going to end my presidential campaign, continue my work as mayor of New York City, and I'm going to keep speaking up for working people.
Was that Mika with the What? Are they really shocked? Is this seriously a shock at MSNBC? Say it isn't so. No! What fiction are they living in that this wasn't coming a month ago? How much money did this guy blow on this nonsense to begin with? Willie Geist still pleading, please think it over, Mr. Mayor.
Some might say, why now? Why not give it another month?
That's Joe. Joe, why not give it another month? There's more money to... I'm sure there's some idiots in New York that'll keep shoveling money into the blast furnace that is this... wormhole called your campaign. Mixing my metaphors. 888-630-9625. A sad, sad Friday, folks. Mayor de Blasio out of the presidential race. He will not be our next president. This is the Chris Plant Show.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
If you can't seem to stay ahead of your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt, medical bills, and department store debt forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. This program has been used by thousands to legally forgive millions in unsecured debt. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven from what you owe your creditors. Call for free information and get all your questions answered in the first free call. The more you owe, the more you can save. If you have at least $10,000 or more in credit card bills, this debt forgiveness program can be very effective. Call for free information and find out more now. 800-291-6670. There is no cost or obligation for the information. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Get your debt problem solved. Call 800-291-6670 today. Not available in North Dakota.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com. Does your water stain and damage your fixtures? Does it smell or taste bad? Are you worried about what's in your water? Water quality should not be painful and worrisome. Get HydroCare Water Systems from Wave Home Solutions with the most advanced purification technologies. Call Wave Home Solutions today at 1-888-973-WAVE or go to wavecleanwater.com. HydroCare will eliminate lime scale that causes hundreds of dollars in damage to pipes and appliances. Without using salt, well water will no longer smell or stain your fixtures. City water will be purified of harmful chlorine, lead, arsenic, and chemicals. Wave Home Solutions provides the cleanest, healthiest water at every faucet. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, call 1-888-973-WAVE. 1-888-973-WAVE. Or go to wavecleanwater.com. That's wavecleanwater.com.
Wave Home Solutions.
Travis Mannion Foundation unites communities to strengthen America's national character by empowering veterans and families of fallen heroes to develop and lead future generations. Through their 9/11 Heroes Run 5K race series, TMF unites communities across the country and around the world to honor the sacrifices of September 11th and the war since. Register to run, walk, or ruck at a race near you, or as a virtual runner by visiting 911heroesrun.org.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened,
and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The Senior Living Advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-467-7530.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-467-7530. That's 1-800-467-7530.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Hey, welcome back to the Chris Plant Show. Chris Stigall filling in today and thrilled to be with you on a Friday. 888-630-9625, the telephone number. Mr. Plant back on Monday. Telephone number, yeah, you just heard it and it remains the same. Would love to get you in here today on this apparent climate protest Friday. Do you have kids that are participating in this? Kids and adults from 150 countries, a massive Friday climate strike. I read that cities like Washington, D.C., Boston, Minneapolis, Seattle, Denver, L.A. may be involved in this today. One of the most powerful themes of the strike movement is that the young people have had the largest stakes. In a world reshaped by climate change, they feel aggrieved by the lackadaisical approach governments and institutions have taken to the problem. Is this happening in your home? Are young people in your home waking every day? Mom, Dad, I don't know if it's even worth going to school anymore because the glaciers are melting. Is that happening? And if it is that a conversation? I'm serious. Is that a conversation happening around your dinner table? And is the belief then, if that is happening around the dinner table, is the belief that action from government is somehow going to make it stop? I would love to hear someone rationally explain to me why you would encourage a young person to get that emotional and hysterical and panicked over the weather, the climate, and lead them to believe that there is a human fix to it, that humankind is making it happen and that humankind can stop it. The totality of the existence of this planet, It just goes to show that social media in so many ways has made us all so small, our worlds so small. It makes you feel like everything that's happening is just in the device in your hand. I am convinced that people need to spend more time standing out in the middle of fields, standing on ocean fronts, standing on beaches, standing on mountaintops. I'm serious. I think people need to spend more time outside of major metropolitan areas and go stand and look at the vastness of nature instead of their cell phone. Because if they did, I am convinced these people who are in hysterics would get a grander sense and respect of the size and scope and power of this place we inhabit called planet Earth. But I think when you do nothing but watch propaganda films on YouTube from Al Gore or whoever's producing them now. Is he still alive, Al Gore? I guess he was part of this. I hadn't heard he'd passed on, but I haven't heard much from him as of late. I guess he's part of this big climate summit on MSNBC they're running. But 888-630-9625, are your kids coming home with this on their minds, and do you talk about it if so? I'm genuinely curious. Give me a ring. Greg's in Maryland. Greg, we're going to try this today. I think I can hear you. We're having a little bit of a technical snafu here, so let me try it, Greg. Welcome in.
Hey, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. Well, wonderful. Thanks for taking my call. I'm relatively young. I'm 33. I'm concerned. I mean, everyone wants to protect the environment. I do think, you know, for example, overuse of single-use plastics is something we could, you know, tackle as a society with business and government. But this
may I jump in on that?
Crazy.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I don't want to interrupt your thought. I'm going to give you plenty of time to finish it. But let me jump in on that. Because, you know, I do a daily show, but I'm not here all the time, so you and I aren't familiar with one another, and I don't get to talk about this when I'm filling in for Chris, but I'm sure Chris has said this many times, and I'd just like to say, to your point, there is a distinct difference between pollution and climate.
And absolutely.
I think a lot of people don't make that distinction. I'm with you. I am not pro-pollution. And if there are things we can do to stop garbage from being dumped into the sea or what have you, or marine life swallowing plastic or whatever, I'm for that. But I see that as wholly different than we control the weather. Know what I mean?
Yeah, 100% agree. And, you know, sustainable packaging, I'm for that. You know, I think there could be, I'm very libertarian, but I think there could be some, you know, light regulations. And then business already is trying to tackle the problem. You've got Unilever, who's going to try to, like, phase out most of their, you know, packaging. And so, you know, they know that no one wants a dirty environment, but that's different than the climate. But final point is just that, you know, we're facing a fiscal climate that is insane. And I'm 33 looking ahead, and we've got trillions in debt. And these useful young people for these, you know, these green propagandists, they're not even talking about the fiscal calamity that's approaching us, and we're not doing anything about it.
Where do you think, I mean, you're young enough then, at 34, you certainly, you're about almost 10 years younger than me, and I know that even coming through high school and college, I was starting to get a steady diet of this, but you, about a decade behind me in age, I would gather you were fully submerged in this stuff, so probably most of your peers in your age are. What do you think it is psychologically? I'm serious. Not to sound nuts, but I really think I'm serious. I think there's something psychological, almost like an emptiness in a lot of people when they get so hysterical about controlling the weather.
Yeah. I mean, when I was at University of Maryland, everyone had to take an environmental science class. It didn't matter what you were majoring in, you had to take an environmental science class. And the class was basically a one-way discussion about how we're destroying the planet and the climate, and we had to watch Al Gore's thing, and this was 10 years ago, and 12, 11 years ago for me, and, you know, you got to be a critical thinker, but we don't teach critical thinking anymore, so, you know, people just accept, you know, what they're taught, and then they just regurgitate it, and then they get really panicked, but I do think we should panic about the debt. I mean, this is scary stuff because it's within our control. We can control the debt. We can stop spending. You know, And unfortunately, neither party is doing that right now. So,
no, you're right. It's a wonderful, wonderful point, and I'm really glad you made it. And I'm certainly glad you pointed out the distinction, because often people that have this discussion, they immediately go to, why don't you want clean air and clean water and that sort of thing? And the nuance in this is no. Pollution is different than climate.
Yeah.
Climate has always changed. Pollution is something we do control. So that's different. Yeah. Thank you very much, Greg. I appreciate the phone call. Let's head over to Gaithersburg, Maryland, and talk to Keith about it next. Keith, welcome to the Chris Plant Show. Chris Stigall filling in today. Hi.
Hi, how you doing? I'm glad I could call on you. First, to answer your question about why people panic so much, and I think it's because they don't focus so much on God and religion, and so the loss of Mother Nature is their Armageddon. So they have to try to prevent it. But my original call was going to be about my father, who was trained during World War II to be a weatherman. And so in the 60s, when I started hearing about global warming and greenhouse gases, and the big deal was fluorocarbons and the ozone hole.
And I was talking to my father about it and how concerned I was, and he just said, nonsense. He said, global warming is caused by solar flares, and that's pretty much the whole story. And secondly, he said, the ozone hole opens up every 40 years, and then it closes back up. And he said, in 20 years, that hole is going to be closed back up to it the way it was 20 years ago, and they're going to come out and say, well, that's because we're not using fluorocarbons anymore. And that actually happened 6 years ago, that they came out and said that the ozone hole was back to its normal size, and it was because of the reduced use of fluorocarbons.
Yeah, but it's all because we're not using Aquanet anymore. I've lost all my hair, so I don't spray my hair anymore.
So I have a large family, and when the young ones come around and they start talking this nonsense, I'm so thankful that I had a father who was educated about it, so I can get them all to quite to kind of understand what's really going on and how to investigate the information and come up with a realistic approach to it.
I, you know, just as a personal matter, I mean, I happen to be a Christian, a believer, and I don't know people in my sphere who are fellow Christians who articulate this their faith in such a passionate way as people who believe in man-made climate change do. They will fight you to the death if need be. They believe this so much as an article of faith. I wish for our country that people poured their heart and soul into their personal relationship with God or whomever they worship. If people put their kind of time, passion, and energy into that kind of relationship as opposed to climate change, I think we'd all be far better off, Keith.
I agree.
Thank you so much for the phone call. Let me let you hear a little bit of what I'm talking about. This woman, Jamie Mark Golan, I guess I can call, do you call her a woman? She's 17, almost 18. I think you call her a young woman. She's testifying yesterday before the House. Just listen to the 17, think back to when you were 17 and what you were thinking about. What concerned you at 17? What was on your mind at 17? Were you thinking and talking like this?
I already have like underlying issues of like anxiety, and it's just really hard to grow up in a world full of ifs. You know, I don't think a lot of people in Congress understand the conversations that are happening in everyday American high schools, but we're constantly asked, prepare for your future, study for your future, do this for your future. But our world is full of ifs. I'll be talking to my best friend and she'll be like, yeah, you know, I really want to see this natural place sometime if it's going to still be around. I really want to study to be this if that's still going to be a possibility. And it's just like this constant looming uncertainty. And it's this weird form of nihilism and weird just fear that's been existing in my generation, where kids are joking like, what is even like the point, the world is ending, what are we studying for, what are we doing? And it's this kind of depression, it's this fear that is not just among me or my panelists here, but everyone, and that anxiety is something that no child should ever have to fear.
Folks, this is a psychosis. This woman, Jamie Mark Golan, 17 years of age, is telling, you know, the Democrats on Congress who brought her there, the Democrats on this panel in Congress, I should say, they brought her up to Capitol Hill to put on this show. And I hear this, and I feel sad for this girl, this woman, Jamie Mark Golan, the 17-year-old. I think, sister, if things are that rough in your life, in your friend's life, is it any wonder then when you start to hear about the rates of increased teen suicide? If that's real, if this isn't a put-on, and this is really happening to young people in this country, is it any wonder they're offing themselves? And who's to blame? A political movement and academia who is pumping them full of this bilge to scare them to death that if there's a tomorrow. What a miserably sad existence over something that isn't even real. I think it's one of the saddest and biggest stories no one's talking about. We talk about it a lot as a political issue, but this is a psychological issue that is really screwing with young people. If people like this woman aren't being, you know, aren't ringers, aren't putting us on here. Let's try another call in Topeka, Kansas. It's Kathy. Hey, Kathy, thanks for calling the Chris Plant Show. I'm Chris DeGaulle filling in today.
I am not a child, but I was in the 70s when they were we were headed for an ice age.
Right.
I'm still waiting. It was in 30 years it was supposed to happen. And I brought that up at a climate whatever, and they said, oh, well, the science is a lot better now. Oh, okay. My niece has bought it hook, line, and sinker, and there's no way to just wait that I can find. I just think God has a sense of humor.
And thank you for the call, Kathy. How long does a crisis last exactly? When you say we're in a crisis, we've technically been in this climate crisis since the 90s. I know, because I remember Al Gore talking about it when he was in the White House. So how long does a crisis last? Can you be in a two-decade or more crisis? Crises generally mean things are about as bad as they can get. It doesn't get worse than crisis. And crises usually have short shelf lives. I think. I'll need to look up the textbook definition. 888-639-6225, the number. 888-639-6225. Let's take one more here before the break. But I want to stay with this because I think it's a very important thing. You're going to hear a lot of it heading into the weekend, starting today and through the weekend. The children are marching to change the hearts and minds of the adults running our governments across the world. Climate Change Friday here on the Chris Plant Show. Let's go to Leesburg, Virginia, and talk to Phil about it. Hi, Phil.
Yeah, how's it going, Chris? I tell you, I was I graduated high school in 64, and this is in the middle of the Cold War, and we were having Cold War drills, you know, bombing things. You'd crawl under your desk, and we all took it as, basically, nobody took it seriously. I mean, every once in a while, someone would, and I think that's exactly what's happening. They're cherry-picking the people that are panicked. Sure, you've got people that are, oh, my God, the world's going to end tomorrow. But the vast majority of kids, I don't think they're in that category. When they say, oh, we're going to go on strike, hey, that's a chance to take a day off from school.
Right. Yeah. The kids haven't changed much over the years. They're like, sure, I'll get on board the climate change thing if it means I can bug out of school early, right?
Exactly.
Great call, Phil. Thank you. 888-630-9625. Chris Stigall in for Chris Plant today. Welcome to the weekend. It's Friday on the Chris Plant Show.
You're listening to the Chris Plant Show.
It may not be stomach issues.
For me, it's intense gas, or pain, or diarrhea, sometimes all at once, over and over.
I spent years with the symptoms, but could never figure it out.
No matter what I did, they never went away. So I decided to break it down for my doctor and get really specific about my symptoms.
We discovered that exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, may be the reason for my stomach issues.
EPI is caused by my pancreas. It leads to diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools. The symptoms just don't go away.
But EPI can show up with even one symptom.
The good news? EPI is manageable.
But to get to the right diagnosis, you have to break it down for your doctor and get specific about the severity of your symptoms.
Visit IdentifyEPI.com to learn more and use the symptom checker to help change the conversation with your doctor. Brought to you by AbbVie.
Liberty Mutual Insurance presents
and Doug.
If I don't find the right car insurance for me, I might just give up.
Did someone just say, if I don't find the right car insurance for me, I might just give up? Ma'am, what if my partner, this wild emu, and I told you that Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance, so you only pay for what you need?
I'd say sign me up for Liberty Mutual. And also, your emu is eating my tire.
Limu! No. Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Equal housing insurer. State laws apply.
Do you want the job done? Or the job done right? If you're hiring for your business, you want it done right. You want Glassdoor. Simply post your job on Glassdoor and just like that, it's available to over 67 million job seekers. Glassdoor only matches you with the best applicants, so you can find the right fit faster in half the resumes. Plus, they're 30% more likely to stay with your company longer. Hire better, hire faster. Start your free trial today at glassdoor.com/hire.
In 2007, Marine First Lieutenant Travis Manning was killed in Iraq after saving his wounded teammates. Travis's legacy lives on through the five words he spoke before leaving for his final deployment. If not me, then who? Words that today fuel the spirit of Travis Manning Foundation. Words that live in veterans, families of the fallen, and inspired civilians who go out of their way to find a way, who help others with the help of others, who bounce back after each setback, who make good on good intentions. Through Travis Manning Foundation, if not me, then who, are words that can live in you too. Show the world what your character is made of, because character is invisible until it's not. Find out how you can strengthen the character of your community alongside empowered veterans, families of the fallen, and inspired civilians at TravisManion.org. That's TravisManion.org.
If you have hard water, the lime scale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate lime scale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-519-7796. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-519-7796.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Hey, welcome back to the Chris Plant Show. Chris Stigall filling in today, and it is a thrill to be with you on Friday. You can find me online, chrisstigall.com, C-H-R-I-S-S-T-I-G-A-L-L. I hope you'll come on over and hang out with me when you get a free moment. Maybe you're looking for a new podcast to fill some time when you're not listening to the Chris Plant Show or some of your other favorite radio. Check out my podcast. I do one daily, chrisstigall.com, C-H-R-I-S-S-T-I-G-A-L-L, and wherever fine podcasts are offered. Let's try Mike the Lib, one of Chris's favorite callers I know. It's an honor that you took the time, Mike. Thanks for calling the Chris Plant Show. My name is Chris as well, so it's easy to remember. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Chris. Thank you very much for taking my call.
You bet.
I'd like to alert your listeners, first of all, that early voting in Virginia has opened today.
You're out there stumping already, are you?
I'm already at the poll for early absentee voting, yes, in Gainesville Haymarket Library.
All right.
Okay, on climate change. Carbon dioxide is a greenhouse gas. It is increasing the temperature of the planet. We have to put a carbon tax on carbon in order to reduce it. We have to have a balanced energy plan. We just cannot continue to dump carbon dioxide into the atmosphere without dramatically changing the climate.
Hey, Mike, I have to ask this. Carbon dioxide, what is it you exhale?
What?
What do you exhale? What are you exhaling right
now? Well, we exhale, but when you're burning fossil fuels, you're exhaling a great deal more carbon dioxide. Yes, the plant life of the planet could handle animal and human exhaling of carbon dioxide. But you are releasing 1,000 years of carbon. It took 1,000 years to put that carbon in the ground every year that we're basically releasing.
But do you believe by definition we exhale a toxin?
It is a toxin to our body. That's why we exhale it. If you had
but what is the natural filter?
You basically would pass out.
What is the natural filter?
At higher levels, it basically traps the heat in the atmosphere.
Do you know the percentage, Mike?
You know, the sun.
Do you know the percentage of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere,
down
Mike?
The sun for
Mike,
us.
Do you know the percentage of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere?
It's higher than it's ever been. And it's getting higher. You don't
as
have
a percentage,
to have huge
do you know
concentrations
much,
before people start to pass out.
If, I mean, if I told you, and this isn't argued, I don't believe. If I told you 400 hundredths,
you only need 2 degrees in order to.
If I told you 0.004% is all that existed in the atmosphere, does that impress you or not? 0.004% of the Earth's atmosphere is carbon dioxide.
It was before the industrial age. You have very small differences can make dramatic increases in temperature.
And if I told you the Earth was greening, there was more green space on planet Earth in the last 100 years than there's ever been before, what would you say?